We're waiting for Nuala too.
Let me unmute you.
All right. Okay, people coming in. I see attendees. All right. Hi, everybody. We cannot see you all, but I see attendees and participants rolling in right now. So we're going to just give another minute or so before we officially start the meeting as everybody just comes into the room. This is our very, very first Zoom CEC meeting. So please forgive us any glitches. We will do our best to see how this goes. And of course, any feedback, if you guys like the format or don't like the format, please let us know. That includes council members. If you think that there's a better way to do this, we can try it next month. All right. People still coming in. Do I see a hand raised?
Newland signed in like as a participant.
All right, let me forward Nuala that email also.
I did the wrong way.
She's here. She's
there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm here.
Hi, Nuala.
Oh, there
I'm
we are.
I'm getting the last few bites of my dinner.
It's okay. All right. It seems like the rush of folks has slowed down. But people will just come in as they come in. CEC 30 May meeting. So good to see everybody's faces on the council. I miss people, so this is great. So let's start with our roll call. Shannon, will you take the roll, please?
We have to unmute her. Okay.
I did.
Ms. Amina. Mr. Scott.
Here.
Ms. Nuala.
Present.
Ms. Katrina. Mr. Jonathan.
Present.
Mr. Scott.
Here. Present. Hello.
Ms. Clark. Ms. Katrina?
Present.
Thank you. And did I get everybody?
Me, so Fatima. I'm
Ms.
here.
Fatima, how you doing? Thank you.
Good, thank you.
And Ms. Lee, present.
Great.
Present.
Thank you so much. So we opted not to have any speakers on this first meeting. We mainly want to hear from Dr. Composto and how things are going on the district end, as well as mainly hear from parents on the parent end. So we're going to immediately go to Dr. Composto, followed by public comment. How this will work tonight, again, we'll see how this works. We figured since it's our first time, rather than try tinkering around with muting and unmuting and video and not video, we're gonna ask that if you have a question or a comment, and you can do this at any time, find the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen. That'll pop up a window for a question and answer, and type your question in there. We will then, during the public comment phase of the meeting, we will read it aloud. And if there's anything to respond to, the counselor, Dr. Composto, may respond. But we're going to try that first before we attempt engaging back and forth with the public and see how that goes. So I hope that's okay by everybody for this.
Can I just ask a question,
Deb? Yeah.
If people are calling in on their phone, how can they ask questions?
Gail, do you have a list of phone caller inners?
You're muted.
We're muted. Yeah. There. Okay.
You want to allow? Yes, I do.
Then we could. After those are read, then we will go to the phone calls, and then those people can just speak. They don't have the option of typing in. So we'll start with the comments that are in the Q&A, and then we'll go to the phone calls. Raising your hand is not, we're not going to call on folks. We're just going to put stuff in the Q&A. Please feel free to use the chat with the understanding that we ask you to be as respectful as you would be if you were sitting in the audience, and that anything that you would say in front of everyone is what you would type into the chat. And we ask that everyone is respectful. So the chat will remain open unless and until it cannot remain open. So we will be keeping an eye on it, but feel free to chat with one another in the chat box. But for your actual questions and your public comment, we ask that you use the Q&A box. That's what we will read from right now. And we'll talk more about public comment afterwards, but let's throw it over to Dr. Composto for his monthly superintendent report.
Thank you. First of all, it's so good to see people's faces. It's wonderful to see all the CEC. It's been interesting. It has been certainly a piece where all of a sudden life changed for us. And one of the things that I do know is that the staff, whether it was teachers, our parent coordinators, our school aides, our secretaries, our principals, our assistant principals, our families, everybody came together. We had 3 days to bug out. And I remember so clearly the principals got right on a conference call and we all decided we needed to figure this out. We needed to set up a program to ensure the best we can for our children, thinking about their education, their social emotional learning, and what it meant remote-wise to be on a computer 6 hours and all these things. So I have to say I'm so proud that the teachers and the administrators sat together in each school and they figured it out. We are up and running in District 30, and I can't thank them enough. I can't thank our families for being patient, for talking with us, asking us, and helping us solve the problems. So lots of great things have happened.
Dr. Composto, can I actually totally interrupt you? I'm really sorry. I wanted to make an announcement in Spanish because it's a long story to go through, but we attempted to get translation for this evening and it did not happen. I'm going to do my best to make a quick announcement in Spanish. To let people know that we will be, if you want to put a question into the question box in Spanish, we will do our best to translate it and read it. And we will read it, do our best to translate it and answer it. And we will be pushing the DOE to fully translate this this meeting in Spanish for anyone who requests it. So please bear with me. I hope to be better than some of our mayors with my pronunciation, but here goes.
Buenas noches, lo siento. Tuvimos dificultades para obtener un traductor para la reunión de esta noche. Si tiene una pregunta o comentario, ingréselo en el cuadro de preguntas y respuestas con su nombre. Intentaremos traducirlo nosotros mismos y nos pondremos en contacto con usted. También intentaremos traducir la reunión después de esta noche. Póngase en contacto con nosotros si desea una transcripción traducida de la reunión. Gracias por su comprensión. Comprensión. Sí.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, Dr. Composto. I wanted to get that out there first.
No, and thank you for doing that. You did a great job.
Muy bien.
Thank you. It's wonderful, Deborah. Okay. Thank you. So I just want to go back and make sure everybody heard me loudly. Thank everybody. There's not a person, a staff member, a family member, a child. Everybody came together and figured this out in 3 days. So we've really been up and running. So here's some of the highlights. So the first thing that I was worried about is when we began this venture, we were missing 297 children. And my only thought at this point was we have to make contact with every child to make sure they're safe. And as of April 22nd, I can say to you, every child in District 30, all 39,000 children are accounted for. So I'm really proud of that. And it was not an easy feat because understand, world changed for us. And we had people stepping up to the plate, people using their personal phones. We had people that were willing to take the mail and deliver it. You know, I call it the snail mail, but the post office. And so lots of people came together to make sure that first we found our children. The second thing is we wanted to make sure they all had different devices. So I just want to give you some stats. So we started off with 10,626 people asking for these devices. As of today, 34 are still waiting. And I must tell you, every day the number goes up. We get really happy because at the end of the day we finished it, and then the next day there'll be another 120, but that's okay, because we're making sure that every child has a device in their hand. So as of today, only 34 children, the devices are ordered. We're waiting. It takes about a week. The Department of Ed really figured it out. It's really working out wonderful. They have different couriers. So I'm happy to say we know where all our children are. All but 34 have a device in their hand. And not to say that there aren't other children, because what we're learning as we're going along here is that there are families that 3 and 5 children, and they might only have 3 devices with 5 children, mom working, dad working. So this has been a need of ours to make sure that our children have a device in their hand. I do want to share with you that we have 2 recreational enrichment centers known as the rec centers. One of them is presently at PS 11. They house about 45 to 50 kids every day, depending. They're doing elementary, middle, and high school type children. Basically elementary and middle. Then we have another rec center at PS 397, which is our early childhood center. Has 8 cribs. I have been absolutely amazed how wonderful they've been doing. They usually have only maybe 4 or 5 children each day. They have 8 cribs. Today they had 5 children, for example. They have had a baby as much as young as 9 months, some 21. So they do all the toddlers, the really little baby guys. You know? So they're doing wonderful, our rec center. We are happy to say that we have 15 fetusites in District 30. We recently added 92, and I'm happy, I just found out today, I'm happy to inform everybody that PS 152 will also be opening this Wednesday, May 13th. So we're gonna open up 152. So, and we are delivering, some sites are doing over 1,000 meals a day. So it's really been a blessing for the community and something that's been working really well. And once again, I wanted to shout out for all of our workers in the cafeteria who have really, you know, gone beyond the call of duty. Our safety office that are there, our custodian staffs who are out and working. So really shout out to all of them, because they're out there on the front lines doing. So that's where we are with the food. I'm really happy to say that. So now we'll have 16 with 152 opening up on Wednesday. Sorry. So I'm also happy to say, you know, what everybody knows who has technology, what's the first thing that happens? It breaks on you. So we're getting plenty of calls. Things are not working. But I'm happy to say the Department of Ed came up with a wonderful system. Actually, you have the same system that we have where we get a DIIT person. So what happens is that if you do have it, and go to District 30's website, we have everything. We have revamped our entire website. And this is the first thing that you'll see. It's a link that parents can go on to either order a device, cancel a device, or to say your device is not working, and they get back to you and they will fix your device. So that's a good piece also. Lots of parent workshops are happening within our schools individually. Our borough office center also did some great workshops last week. Spoke to our director today. She promises me within a week or two, the very latest, all of these great workshops that we did will be online, that you can then access them as well. So one of the things that I must share with you that is concerning to me is that our children are losing. They're losing family members. It's really frightening. And we decided in 30 to track it a little bit because the principals were calling me. And we are certainly involving all of our guidance counselors. I've asked the Borough Center to work with us, to help us train our guidance counselors, to work with families individually. It has been a little bit heartbreaking. It really is. And I keep thinking of these young kids and anybody in a household with somebody you love, and then they pass. So it's really scary, but we are working really hard to maintain our level of social emotional learning with our children and to pay attention to make sure that they're okay. So counselors are on board. Anybody knows of any, you call me, and we're going to make sure we're taking care of each child, because it is concerning. We're losing people, we're losing family members, and it's frightening for all of us. Wellness Wednesday. That's a great thing. Tomorrow's going to be Wellness Wednesday. So it's a wonderful thing, because go on the website. It really helps you. It's for our staff. It's for our parents. It's for our children, certainly. It's for everybody. And it just talks about keeping yourself healthy, body and mind, all of us. You know, one of the things that my son, who works in the theater, when he got off 2 weeks before me, he said to me, "Dad, what you've got to do every day is get up, take your shower, have your breakfast just like you normally do." That was the best advice that child has given to me. We all need a routine. Everybody, our children need routines. And I am so thankful to our principals and teachers who worked really hard to create routines and rituals, make sure before we left on those 3 days that we had a schedule, that our children were not going to flounder. In 30, we didn't flounder. We moved. We moved quickly, and we've helped. And we've been adjusting. I'm not saying this has been easy for anybody, nor do we have all the answers. Patience and flexibility is how we move forward. So we have Wellness Wednesday. You got to go on the web. It's a wonderful piece. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's great. It'll make you feel good. And that's what you should, everybody should feel good, because we are in difficult times. We are in different times. But it doesn't mean it has to be bad times. We have to embrace what we have and do the best for our children. So our pre-K admission just came out today, by the way. The Office of Student Enrollment will be releasing pre-K office letters tomorrow. May 13th, all families who submitted an application by March 29th, the deadline, will get an offer tomorrow. Wednesday morning, schools will be notified about the email office, and they will start working with our families to ensure that our families are registered and whoever wants to go gets a chance to go. So we're really happy. I am proud and honored and humbled to say before all this happened, New York State announced 17, I'm going to say that again, 17 District 30 schools that had high performance and high growth, meaning that we were moving our children and moving them into the proficient level. So I'm really proud and I congratulate all of those schools. You can find that on the state website, those schools, if they're yours. And we are very proud of all of our schools, even those who didn't end up with the state list. They too have had great movement in their scores for our children. Parent-teacher conference, so we started that. Lots of things. I'm not going to read it to you, but there is a whole piece on the web about parent-teachers conference. The piece that I want you to know is that this is a time to spread the word for parents and anybody who's out there understanding. It's okay. Your children should be telling you how they feel. This is strange. I've been in classrooms where I've seen kids cry. They just, it's overwhelming. Think about it. You're 8, you're 9 years old, you've never done this. Now you're on a screen with everybody watching you and you can't express yourself. It's frightening for them. So this is something that we all have to stay together and keep remembering that they're children and they're going through this. But we as parents, we have to ask them the hard questions. How do you feel? What do you want? How can we make this better? And this parent-teacher conference is your opportunity to ask teachers to help you. What do you need from us? We're here to help your children. If your child needs something special, you talk to us. We want every kid to feel comfortable in this time. We are terribly concerned about their social emotional level. It's quite frightening for all of us. We also have translation services for all of our pieces. We want our parents to know that at any given time that you want to talk to a staff member, we are connected to Central, and we will get the translation for you. And many of our own staff members speak all the languages. So please do not back away from us. If anybody feels that we missed the beat, and it could be possible, it is really tough out there, but we want to get every beat, let us know, and we're going to work with you. The scheduling for these parent-teacher conference, I was very happy to hear the result. It's between a parent and the teacher. Anytime can happen. We don't care. Listen, if the two of them decide at 3 in the morning that's the right thing for them, that's okay too. If they want it in the middle of the day, that's okay. In the evening, whatever they want, it's between the teacher and the parent. The two of them work it out, and that's how we're going to move forward with the scheduling. So we just ask that as we prepare for these parent-teacher conferences, and I believe we have until May 22nd, but I want every parent to know it doesn't end by May 22nd. We're here for you. You need to keep talking to us. We need to be really partners now as we move forward in this virtual world of ours. There's a whole piece on the web about parent guides, how to talk to them. So please go onto the web. If you need any help, we will help you. One of the things we did in District 30 was we Our district line is being manned by a live person, so you can call District 30 and you will get an answer that same day. I'm very proud of that. I am proud that people stepped up to the plate, and I'm mailing pieces out to our children. We are doing whatever we can to stay connected. And I'm sure all of you heard that the Department of Education is working with PBS and Channel 13 to put a program on. Can't say that I've seen it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be great. So anybody who's interested, our pre-K especially, and our K in 1 and 2, that's a program that's appropriate for them. Working purpose, I know that applies mostly to our middle schools and our high schools, but I want to tell you that we've got that in play now. And I know it's a funny thing, but our children have been calling us and we're working with them. It is important for them. We don't know what's going to happen. We do know that some of those summer jobs were cut. Any politicians out there, we've got to get our children programs for the summer, and we need them working too. So whatever we can do for our children first is what my feeling is. So let the children know if they need working papers, call the district number, call their middle schools. All of our middle schools are set up with the working papers protocol. They'll know how to help you. Any problems, call the district line at all times, and we're going to make sure you get what you need. Advanced placement, the AP exam. So once again, that's the piece. The DOE is extending the coverage of an AP exam fee for spring 2020, including the late testing window in June, to include all students. In prior years, the DOE only covered the cost of AP exam for economically disadvantaged students. This year, they're paying for everybody. So if you know of a youngster who's interested in that, please make sure they get to their high school guidance counselor as well. We have put a lot of pieces. I am very proud of our district website. We have worked really hard for you. Please visit our website. It is so friendly and so informative. We have, first of all, the District 30 highlights on there. If you go, we even have this thing. Click on Remote Learning Successes. You will watch videos and lessons from our schools straight across the district, and people just highlighting the good things that are happening. Please do that. But please visit our website. We have free daily meals. We have where you can get your meals. We have your iPad distribution list. We have any kind of information. And in the event that you don't find what you want on that website, you leave a call on that number, and that day you'll get an answer, even if the answer is we're waiting for guidance. But we will get back to you with that. We've done so much to support our families. I just want again, thank our staff who have been outstanding, our teachers, our parent coordinators. We have school aides that are working with children one-on-one if they speak their language. We have our paraprofessionals. I was in a Zoom classroom last week, and it was so wonderful to see the paraprofessional was doing what Gail does. Thank you, Gail, who's running these things. That's a whole nother life. This is another world for us. We need someone to do our remote learning piece. And guess what? A para was doing that. The teacher was teaching. She's showing charts. She's splitting the screen. And the kids, by the way, fourth grade, kids were into it. You could see the routines and rituals started from day one. They knew what they needed to do, and they did it. Learning is taking place in District 30. And I'm not going to say, and I know that, and I want to put it right out there, that we have worked with every parent, because we understand that not every kid could be on these devices all the time. We are working with you. I don't want any child to walk away sad, any parent to be angry. We're going to work with you. We have set up individual programs for children when parents say to us, they have one or two devices and they need it for work, and we understand that. I certainly understand that. So we're just going to ask that everybody work with us, tell us what you need. So we are doing individual programs for children who need it. We are being very, very cautious and careful with our special ed needs children and our L children. We understand that putting them in these large groups, and for you and I think it's sort of interesting, I get to watch when I do with the principals, you get to see everybody's background. It's wonderful. But for our children, sometimes some of them are enjoying it and some are a little concerned. But we need to know each and every child and help them. So moms, dads, grandmas, family members, just let us know what you want, and we're going to work with you to make sure your children are okay. So we have done so many wonderful things. I have like three or four pages here, and I'm not going to read it all to you, but the bottom line is the staff has come up to the plate and taken care of our children. No matter what we've asked, secretaries, school aides, paras, teachers, like I said, people are working together, and that's what we need. We need to stay together here. So we have Donna Brailsford from our Borough Center. Our Borough Center also, I want to take a moment and thank them. They've done a wonderful job for professional development for our teachers, for our parents, and certainly for our counselors. We have worked very closely with our counselors. As I've said before, we do have some concern for our children who are losing family members. We have concern for our little guys who don't understand this, and they're cooped up in an apartment. You can feel them when you see them on TV. They're so happy to see each other and to see their friends and to see their teacher. There's a lot of great things out there for our multilingual learners. Everything, go to the web and look on. I'm not gonna read it to you. You do know that they did cancel our Regents exams in August. I just wanted to make sure our high school children know that. Graduation ceremony. So we know that the mayor is doing a wonderful extravaganza for our high school children. But I have charged our middle school and our elementary school principals with a job, and I tell them to go back to our parents, to go back to our staff, and figure out how we're going to celebrate our kindergarten. What is our stepping up ceremony going to look like for our children? What is our stepping up ceremony going to look for our fifth graders and our eighth graders? Today we held a principal's meeting, and I'm proud to say that we put them in separate rooms. We had them discussing these pieces exactly. So they should be going back to our communities and asking you, what do you see? What do you want? What do our children want? How do we honor our children? How do we celebrate our children? Because I want everybody to understand something. We spend three quarters of the year, three semesters into the year, in our classrooms as a family, as a unit. This is strange for all of us. So we just need to figure out this last marking piece and move forward. So there's some guidance on our school leadership teams. Yes, they asked that we do meet. They did loosen up the law a little bit. They relaxed it in the person requirements, but they are asking that we meet virtually, and schools have been doing it. But I want everybody to understand, this is not about, I got you. I know that one or two schools missed a month, but we're working with those principals, and we expect almost every single SLT to meet in May. You know, and it's not easy. Please be patient and flexible, as we too need to be patient and flexible, because it's not easy. These are difficult first time things. They're not hard, but we just got to figure it out. And that's what's so wonderful. I want to shout out all of our principals and APs in District 30. Twice a week, we go into one of these rooms and we brainstorm all the problems. We have some real pieces that we are working on. And we are trying to figure out, we're listening to our parents, we are listening to our teachers, we are listening to our staff, and we are listening to our children. With that, we're going into these groups and just trying to answer what is the best way to approach this. And I'm really proud of some of the great work that's coming out of 30's principals meeting twice a week. So we talked about the SLTs, they have to continue. There's lots of guidelines, I'm not gonna read them to you. There's lots of good things, and it talks about how you have to have a chair. It's basically, it's the same thing as what you would do in an SLT, we're just doing it virtually. And the same thing for me, the DLT. We already held one, and we'll be going back for our second one in May. So that is important. I'm not gonna read it to you. Anybody interested, you can find this all on the Department of Ed web. Just type in there SLT, DLT, whatever you want. Guidance on supporting students observing Ramadan. I do want to take a moment and recognize that many of our students are celebrating Ramadan between April 23rd and May 24th. That was one of our things that our principal spoke about. We do know that they're fasting and how it's better maybe sometimes to do these classes for some of our youngsters in the morning. So we're working with that. We do want everybody to recognize that as well. SAT weekends, yes, they're going to do the SATs for our high schools. Once again, any of our high school youngsters should make sure they get in touch with their counselors, their superintendent, anybody who needs connection with somebody. You call our office, District 30's number, you're going to get a live person, and we're going to connect you with whoever we can. I do want you to know also that our concern is child abuse and maltreatment prevention and intervention during remote learning. We're keeping our eye on, and we've had a few situations that we have not been comfortable with the way children look. Sometimes they express that they're hungry, and we have to be so much in tune to this that not everybody's, if anything, we're realizing that our children are at different levels and different stages and different needs. And you know, Maslow says food, shelter, and clothing are the first three things, and that's what we have to make sure. So we are paying attention, we are calling in the help, we're not necessarily calling in ACS, we have a lot of pieces in our borough center to help families to get food, help families get counseling. We're supporting families the very best we can to ensure that they take care of our children and themselves as well. Zoom, you all of you should be happy, Zoom is back. I don't know, I was Zoom, I was Microsoft team, I'm just as flexible as and patient as anybody can be. So we're good with Zoom. We're going to go back to Zoom. We were on Microsoft ourselves, but if people like Zoom, I'm going to go back to Zoom too. Reminder of donations and fundraising rules during COVID-19. They are in place. The chancellor has not yet relaxed any rules. Please pay attention. Any questions, please send them to us regarding what PTAs can do, raise money for at this time. And we will make sure that we get all of your answers. All of your questions answered. So I just want to take a moment to talk about remote learning. And I know it's going to come up in the questions. People are going to say to me, we want live instruction. We want what we're calling synchronous learning, where the teachers go live. We can't mandate that. That's the bottom line. But we have been working, and our schools across the district have more, each and every day more and more teachers are buying into it. We're not forcing, we're not mandating, but we're working with them. So here are some of the issues that came up. So for example, people are uncomfortable that that pictures of their families are behind them and they don't want anybody to know about their family. So we now have screens that can go there. The biggest problem that we've had, and what we've done is we've written a letter and ask for our principals to share it with families. Basically, teachers are uncomfortable that parents are coming in, taking pictures or taking a video and then putting it on the web. And I know that you're doing it out of pride. You're proud of your children who are answering. You're proud of your teachers. But we ask that you not do that. Teachers are uncomfortable. So what we're trying to do is remedy why teachers don't want to go live and work with them to help them to move forward. But we do want to be very clear with this. There is no mandate that teachers have to go live. And I do know that my parents have been asking us. And I'm proud to say that each and every day, more and more teachers are working with us. And we are working with other teachers who are doing it, sharing their experiences with it to make sure that it happens. But it is not a mandate. The grading policy. So we've got our grading policy. So I want to be clear on this too, because I know there's a lot of concern out there about different programs. Understand that the children, most of our schools had a 4 marking period grading policy. By the 3rd marking period, the scores were in. We were okay. It's the last marking period that we are working with our families. I've asked principals to go back with their SLTs and talk about this. What does it look like, this 4th marking period? But we will be giving a grade. And the last grade will only be a letter grade that the chancellor had asked us, the final grade. So I just want, because I know people are concerned. So, and I don't know. We don't know. I know that's going to be another question for me about the gifted and talented in the screen schools. There's no regulation, but I do know that if and when they decide that they have 3 marking periods where we can see where children were, and that 4th marking period is something that we have to be fair to, because I saw a lot of unhappiness in this 4th marking period in the sense that children didn't have equipment. Parents needed to go to work. They come first. I get this. Maslow, food, shelter, and clothing. So we've worked with everybody, and no child will be penalized on this 4th marking period. So I do want you to know that we are following the chancellor's grading policy, that the last marking period will have the letter grade. And you can, once again, it's on the web. If you need it, please let me know. I have it in front of me, but I'm not going to spend time because I know you guys want to ask questions and I don't want to spend time. But I did I did want to give you a comprehensive view of what was going on. And my last page is all of the wonderful things that are on our website, which is basically all the links that you can get for support. And remember, we're here to answer your questions. And I'm sure now I have some questions. So anybody want to start? We can start the questions.
So the first thing I'm going to say, we've gotten a bunch of questions in already, which is great. For those who just came in, I want to reiterate, we're using the Q&A box, not the chat box, for public comment questions. In terms of housekeeping, we're going to start with our council members who have any comments for you, questions for you. Nuala, I don't know if you want me to read these or you'd like to unmute and read them yourself. But I just want to give a sort of a broad caveat that Dr. Composto is part of the DOE, but in many instances, he does not have the answers that the DOE doesn't yet have themselves. So I just want to sort of give him a little cover. I'm sure he's going to answer a lot of your questions, as many as he will always answer all of the questions that he can. But anyone who's, you know, if you're happy, tell him. If you're angry, you can tell him. He yes. can take it, but he is not the one who has the answers to a lot of the huge questions that we all have right now. And I just want to sort of preface it with that. He will, however, as will we, take all of this feedback. I'm recording it all. And the council meets weekly with the DOE, and they take our concerns, which are your concerns, up the chain to the DOE. So I'm recording all of these comments, and I'm going to make sure that at our weekly meeting, they get moved up the chain. And Dr. Composto will take the feedback he receives and take it up the chain, up his chain. So I just want to start with that so we know where to place our anger and frustration, that it's in the right place. But I know I can speak for him that he will do his best to answer whatever he can. So would any council members like to speak? I see Katrina's hand is raised. So I'm going to unmute you, Katrina, and then you can talk. Katrina, you're good to go. Did you want to say anything?
She's still muted.
Okay. Push and unmute.
Okay, no, I'm good. Sorry. I don't have anything to say. That was by accident.
Okay, no worries.
I have stuff.
Great. So go for it, Noah.
Okay. First of all, a big thank you to Dr. Composto. Early on, I brought up the issue of PS92, and I was really happy to see the Department of Education work on that. The families in North Corona really appreciate having PS92 as a feeder site, and I'm really excited to hear that 152 is now a feeder site as well. Here in, especially Corona, food insecurity is a big issue. And anything the Board of Education can do is a great help, and we appreciate it. A bunch of questions, and I know you don't have answers for all of these, but just make sure that we put them up the ladder. Summer school. What I'd like to know, for families who feel like their children have really fallen behind, how do they get help over the summer? Not necessarily even summer school, because now that school is virtual, it could be many different ways. And what I would suggest for the DOE is to have kind of an optional summer school. And the idea being that if the DOE could kind of just have a first grade class, a second grade class, a third grade class of this ideal learning, and that parents who are interested could log in and attend, you know, or science, whatever it is. And that way, if they feel like their child has fallen behind, they can try to catch up.
So thank you. I'm going to answer each question one at a time because I know you'll have lots of questions, but this is an important question. So one of the things that we have worked with in our chat rooms, the principals and I, is to come up with a situation, what we're calling learning gap plans. We need to know where every child is when they left us in March in school, and now because of the devices, where are they? So we are now trying to figure out where our children and then come up with a gap plan so that we can catch them up, whether it's in the summer. We do not know about summer school. I hear all your recommendations, wrote them down. I'm going to bring them forward, but yet we are still waiting for what guidance for summer school. I do believe they will have summer school for certainly our most neediest children, but we have to wait and see for guidance for that. Okay, so I like it. I like what you said, because what for me, it means right now, I've asked our principals to work with our teachers to figure out where are our children right now? What kind of a gap did they create, or are they okay? We need to figure out for each child a plan where we're going to go forward, whether it's in the summer or when we come back in September, we need to figure out how we're going to help them catch up. Go ahead, Nuala.
Next, I want to talk about the feeding sites. Do you know if they're going to be open for the summer or what the plan is for the summer?
No, there are no summer. No, I'm writing it down for you, but there are no summer. At this time, they have no summer regulations or decided on anything as far as summer school sites. Usually, the same sites will be open, but we don't know that. We will find out. As soon as I find out, I will share with the community.
Next, I have two related but separate issues, and that is the non-academic but more social, emotional, and physical aspect of learning. So many of my neighbors are stuck in really tiny, cramped apartments with too many kids, too many people, and they're all kind of pulling their hair out. And so the first question is, how do we get our kids moving? How do we get regular exercise in? And then how do we get our kids socializing? I know it's going to be a new kind of socializing, but what I see are kids starve to see other kids. And I know you can't have the simultaneous learning and the teacher aspect of that, but I'm talking about, can we have simultaneous lunch or simultaneous club where all the fourth graders in class 302 can just log in and say hi to each other, especially for the shyer people who might not have people they can call and talk to, but just that they could join in. I mean, even if they're just eating cookies together, the idea being that there's some kind of easy to enter social interaction, because I'm seeing kids who are just feeling really isolated. And then when they get to that whole classroom thing, it's almost too much.
Right.
But some kind of easy way to socially involve.
So thank you. That's two wonderful questions. Let's do the first one, exercise. I am proud to say that every single one of these schools have created an exercise program or a plan. Easy stuff that you can do at home. I was working with one when I visited the classroom. They were lifting up milk containers. Somebody else was just exercising, moving their feet. So there are all kinds of exercise programs in each and every school. So parents and children should know that if they don't know it already. And they can easily do them, because one of the things that they're working on are programs that can be done in apartments, because we do get that. As far as the shared link, I agree with you in the sense that when we do these Zooms, especially, and the kids all see each other, they get all excited. So we can certainly try to work on something. Our biggest problem is these devices. I'm going to be very, very honest, because first of all, and I get it, I'm a parent, and our parents who are working need to, first of all, have the equipment for themselves. That's why we do ask for everybody to keep applying. I am more than happy every day to get up and see that another 100 people want a device, and as long as they're entitled to it, we're gonna get it to them. So it is important that the kids have this time together. I hear you. I will bring it back to see what else we can do, but we have had classroom time where the kids do that, you know, which is better, because it's they're 20 or 30 kids from the same classroom, and they get to little talk and have it. So that was a big piece for us, by the way, at the beginning, and just kids checking in. How do you feel? How, what are you thinking? You know, those kinds of questions. So we've done that, but we can certainly do more of that. And I did write that down to bring it back to our principals to see how we can have some more like shared lunches or study time together.
And lastly, I know you don't have this on hand, but can we get some specific data? How many meals are being picked up at each school? How often they've run out of food? And then how often the schools are using kind of more unique teachers, the guidance counselors specifically? I've done a number of interactions with parents when their kids are saying, they always say the same thing, my kid's falling apart, what I do. And I always say, well, have you tried the guidance counselor? And they all say, oh, I didn't think of that. I'm like, they're still there.
Yes. No, matter of fact, just tell them to call the principals. We have all kinds of pieces. We have put built-in pieces into our everyday classrooms with like what we call a magic circle, where kids get a chance to say how they feel, what's going on in their lives. So yes, we agree with you 100%. Those parents should go back to their principals, because we have a plan in place for every single child with their social emotional learning. As far as the data for the meals, I certainly will ask, but I do remember you had asked this a while ago, and at that point we were serving almost over 1,000 meals a day. But I will get you the exact numbers, not a problem.
Okay. And then sad site. Do we know how many staff members we've lost and how many families have lost children? I want to make sure that they're not necessarily right this minute, but that they're honored and that we do grieve them appropriately over time. And I think that that's important for us as a community to know. And that's not any specific information, but if we know that each school, this one has lost two or this one, or any teachers, so that we can just give the proper honoring to them.
Thank you once again. I appreciate that. Matter of fact, one of our schools is doing a yearbook, and they had asked for permission to name the family members that passed. And the legal said, as long as we have permission from the families, we can do a nice memorial page for them if that's what the families want. So we are tracking that, because it was concerning when the principal started to say to me, you know. But we are tracking that. We are starting to look at that, and our staff as well. So once we get that data, I will gladly share it with you. But it'll be soft data. Obviously, it's not something, you know, it's data that we are collecting.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, and one just shout out. I will tell you that you've gotten some great reviews. Whenever I say, call Dr. Composto, they'll be like, really? I'm going to call the superintendent. I'm like, don't worry, he will get back to you. And they always are like, you know, he got right back to me.
I certainly will. Always, always. Thank you for that.
And a shout out to Nula. As Dr. Composto said, she really, really pushed on the PS92 site, having that be a community food site. And so that was great advocacy, Nula, and great that we got it. I'm thrilled to hear about PS152 also. I have two quick things for you, Dr. Composto. So you mentioned translation for families. I think it was with regard to parent-teacher conferences.
Correct.
I know we had a real issue with getting that translation. Can we make sure that, or can you get for me, or maybe I can get it, a procedure of what parents need to do for both parent-teacher conferences, but also IEP meetings that are happening now this spring? It can be a real barrier to...
So it's our responsibility. The onus is on us to get the translation. You just got to give us, like, if you know that there's going to be an IEP meeting or a PT, a parent-teacher conference, just let us know. Give us a week, a few days in advance. We'll get the translation. That's okay. Our job, but we just need to know it. So we just
and the guidance for us, for parents, is to say, give some lead time. If you need it, please make sure that you've asked in advance of your meeting. Okay.
Correct.
And then piggybacking on something Nula was saying, there was an article somewhere that I read for the fall, just as a comment, we can do so much with outdoor learning when we need space. And I would love for principals to start thinking creatively about utilizing outdoor space for learning, because you can socially distance much better outside. You can engage in physical learning, just fresh air, all of those good things that we probably should have been doing anyway, but now we might have to do. We have playgrounds, we have parks, we have places to go. Some folks have rooftops. I'd love to see us start thinking literally outside the box of school in terms of how we can come back safely, but also in a more creative, healthier way. Anybody else have questions, comments for Dr. Composto from the council? No, I don't see anybody. All right, thank you so much, Dr. Composto. I'm going to go to the Q&A now. Again, please put your questions and answers. I've got a whole bunch here, or your questions and comments. Can be a comment, could be a question. We'll do our best to answer it. And I'm just gonna go straight to it. And Dr. Composto, if it's something you wanna answer, just jump right in. The first comment is from Jackie Ibarra. And she says, please outline a reopening timeline for schools once we reach phase 4 of the New York State and city's reopening plan. Will there be staggered schedules by grade and class? Will middle or high school students attend school and elementary learn remotely? What about those children with underlying issues like asthma? Can they study remotely despite school reopening? How can classes be reduced in size when the state and city are underlying budget cuts? will all schools have nurses and additional health and medical staff?
So those are all great questions. And it's funny, I was just listening to, before the meeting, to the governor and the mayor, and that's what they were all talking. Everything that was just said is what they're saying we have to figure out. So we are certainly waiting for guidance for that. But I love everything that they said, staggering, you know, under we got to watch our children who do have asthma. So these are all important pieces. And I know that all of you realize that we are an overcrowded district to begin with. But even our schoolyard, sometimes we don't have those. So we are waiting for guidance, but I like what Deborah spoke about before. I'm going to take it back to our principals. Start thinking, how can we do this differently this time? You know, because our children do need to move and they do need fresh air, but I do know they need to come back. But we have not received any guidance, so we do not know where we're heading for September. We're still waiting for guidance on that.
All right. Next, Anonymous says, is social distancing in schools truly feasible in schools? There are many shared spaces such as the cafeterias, hallways, classrooms, and arrival dismissal areas. It seems like an impossible task to enforce rules, especially with younger kids, when they are at an age where they need hugs, comforting, play, etc., as part of their growth and development.
So I can concur. We had all of our, we have 11 grandchildren. We had them all come over on Sunday in the backyard, social distancing, but those little guys didn't keep listening. We kept saying to them, you know, it is hard for children. I saw, you know, and I'm like, we were outside. We were struggling trying to keep them. So yes, 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 it is going to be difficult, but we got to figure it out. And we got to just work with our children. One thing I know about our children, they're resilient, they're smart, and they'll get a message. But the little guys, it's going to be hard for them. It is. I know like the high schools and the middle schools, they'll get it. Our you know, sixth, fifth, fourth graders will get it. When it comes to kindergarten and first grade, it's hard. It's a hard thing. I saw it Sunday for them to, you know, even though we talked about it and we kept saying you got to keep your distance, it's hard. But so what you say is recognized, and we're just going to have to keep working on it and working with our children if we're going to go that route with the social distancing and going back to school.
Can I actually just
go ahead.
Say one more thing is that just to add to that, I think we're going to need a lot more guidance from the DOE and the city to bring anybody back to school, because even with, you know, high school kids or adults, it would be impossible to keep 6 feet at all times, in any school building. So, you know, we'll see what they advise when things get back.
Right. Listen, I saw even on a subway today, they were showing it on TV where they marked the X's every 6 feet. I don't know about anybody. I've been on those subway platforms. You can't even move. How do we do that? How are we going to put the, you know, we have more people than we do space. So yes, Jonathan, you're absolutely right. We have to be smart and do this very slowly and intelligently. So we're going to figure it out though.
All right, next, also Anonymous. Given that many school classrooms do not have proper air circulation or air conditioning, is it realistic to think that students will not spread any potential germs and viruses? It does not seem possible to wear a face mask and or a hat when many classrooms can be airless, especially during heat waves that we experienced the first few weeks in September and last few weeks of June. I'll jump in and say, I know that one of the ways that they are planning on cutting the budget is halting the capital improvements that like air conditioners. So we are not going to see that project continue, which means no more air conditioners in classes. Dr. Compasso, I don't know if you have anything.
I agree. You know, we're between a rock and a hard place with this. There's no real answer at this point. We're waiting for guidance.
Okay. Dolores says, how will District 30 handle registration of pre-K and K for next school year?
We've already done that, right? We're in the middle of pre-K now. Everybody registered for pre-K. We're now telling them we're going to do it virtually, just like we've done before in our K as well. Matter of fact, it's a little different because usually we ask our parents to bring their K children in, but obviously we can't do that right now. But we have registered all of our K, and tomorrow we start registering our pre-K. So we are on the right road for that, not to worry.
Next question, Anonymous. Not every school is providing live video calls. They have relied on assignments and worksheets with little interaction on or FaceTime. Can there be a more universal policy about live teaching?
Yeah, the real answer here is that it's not a mandate. That's the answer. We can't mandate it. But I'm going to go back to what I started to talk to before. I never like to force anybody to do anything. When you force people, they don't do a good job and they're not happy. So we are trying to work with our staff to get them comfortable that they'll do it, but we cannot mandate it. So there cannot be a regulation straight across the board that we're doing it. I apologize, but we can't.
Next question from Valerie L. I'm a parent of a middle school and high school student. The high school student is taking classes remotely with 3 and 4 classes a day at 40 minutes each. My middle school student today had 2 classes. One was 45 minutes and one was 15 minutes. I know that remote learning is a new thing, but I can't help but feel that since mid-March, my 7th grader has fallen behind. How will he be evaluated and assessed for high school, as 7th grade is the usual marker for high school placement?
So I'm going to go back. We all know that this is worldwide, right? We know it's a pandemic, that those youngsters have 3 good marking periods. Once again, I'm not making this decision. It comes from the chancellor's office. But I want everybody to understand that we have worked with our children. We have done the very best we can, and it's documented. 3 marking periods are totally documented. So that's what, you know, we do know. This 4th marking period, it has been different. And, you know, it's been very interesting for me as a parent. I can't believe that we would expect any child to be on the screen 6 hours, right? Teachers as well, putting, you know, 6 hours. We talked about synchronous, asynchronous, live versus not live. So there's a lot of moving pieces that we're trying to work through, you know? We are trying to work through them to make sure that we do the very best for our children. But we do know that we got to figure out this plan. Where are they? I agree 100%. We had a very long conversation today, the principals, and we talked about our next move is to figure out where are our youngsters and the gap. What happened? You know, some kids had these devices. And by the way, just because you have a device doesn't mean that you're very successful. It's frightening. You're learning differently. You're not having a teacher come over and stand close to you, you know. So you have this large screen where you can see your 32 children in front of you in your class. Lots of different things. So we are right now. Well, the charge that I've given our principals to go back and work with our staff and figure out where are our children, where is this gap, and what's our plan? Are we, you know, going back to our conversation earlier, are we going to have a summer school opportunity to fill in this gap? If not, because we don't know, we're waiting for guidance, we're thinking, well, we are forward thinking. Since this entire thing started, District 30, we have been forward thinking. So presently, we are thinking to figure out where are our children. What is the gap plan that we're going to have prepared for them? Will we be able to do it in the summer, or do we have to do it in September when we come back? We're going to figure that out with our parents, because our parents are a big piece to this now, because as I told you, I have these 11 great grandkids, and I'm watching my own children try to teach their children. I see what's going on here. There's a lot of interesting pieces in motion, but I must share quickly, my middle son came over the first week. He thought this was the easiest job in the world. He should get tenure. He's the best. He should get paid. By the second week, he was like, this job is not for me. These kids don't listen. It's different. It's not easy to be a teacher, right? We know that. And now to be a parent and a teacher is hard, and to have a job, parents who have jobs, other responsibility, babies in the house, it has been interesting. So I know for a fact that we are not going to penalize any child for that 4th marking period, but we have 3 solid marking periods that we can use as well. But the goal here for me is all of our children, where are they? And what kind of a plan are we preparing for that we can either institute in the summer or in September? So that's our goal.
Next question from Celia. I would love to see an across the district review of how communications from schools look, both in amount of communication and in tone. There seems to be a wide disparity. Schools may need some assistance drafting socially, emotionally sensitive communications.
So I would love to take that offline. Whoever that is, please give me a call. We'll talk about it. We are working with individual principals. Listen, as I hear different things, and, you know, think about schools. We have also, our schools are very large schools. They can have anywhere between 900, 1,200. We have a school that has 1,800 in it. And so some parents are very, very happy, and some parents are not, but we want to work with everybody. So you will call. I ask that if you are have a concern about the way someone is speaking to you or your child, go to the school. Start with the school. Start talking to the principal. If you're not happy, you just call the district office, and I will get back to you. I promise you we're going to work together to solve all of these problems with the understanding that we have a variety of children, a variety of staff members. Everybody's in different spots. We're trying to meet everybody where they are, but our goal is always about our children. That's what we're here for. But, you know, we have to make sure that our children feel good about themselves socially, emotionally, because that's the key to success, that if you feel good about yourself, you believe in yourself, you can do something. So we have a big challenge, and I do hear that, but if you aren't happy with a particular school, please approach that school, and if not, you are welcome to approach me as well.
Next, Anonymous. What type of academic support will be available during the summer, especially for students who receive a not meeting standards final grade, and for those students who have regressed academically by subject during this pandemic?
So yes, we're waiting for guidance. We have been told there will be some kind of summer school, especially for our most neediest children, but we're not sure. They're still talking, maybe even doing live. They don't know. There's been a lot of different talk going on right now. And I promise you, as soon as I get the guidance, I will pass it on to all of you.
Next is from Alice Aldridge. She says, hi, everyone. Alice here from D30 Equity Now. It's really good to see you all. Thank you for your kind words to staff and teachers, Dr. Composto, and thank you for the work you've been doing to get kids the tech they need. I have three questions. One, is the CEC moving forward with the rezoning of Long Island City? Two, Dr. Composto, I know this has been a rocky time, and I know a lot of things may have been put on hold. I'm wondering if you plan on continuing the application for the diversity grant. Why don't we take these one, two, and three. I can answer the first one, the CEC question. We have not heard anything from enrollment from district planning yet, but we probably weren't going to until the fall. Obviously, our timetable might be different because they are no longer building the schools. I assume as soon as construction gets back up and running, they will continue with the schools, and we should reach out to SCA to make sure that the timeline has or hasn't changed for the building of those LIC schools. It's a big, who knows what's going to happen I take that back. That will all happen. The question is when. When will the schools be built, and then when will they need to be rezoned? So I don't think we're on the same timetable, but the plan hasn't changed, if that makes sense. And chat me separately if you want to talk more specifically about it. I don't have much more specific than that, but yes, nothing has changed ideologically in where we were 2 months ago. It's just that the schools have stopped being under construction.
So yes, by the way, I have been working very closely with district planning, as I work with everybody, and they are moving forward. We are just as Ms. Alexander pointed out, they're just trying to figure out, you know, the time limit. But we are going to move forward with our zoning of Long Island City and the diversity grant. I am so proud. Thank you for asking. We have worked so hard for the last week and a half, myself and six or seven other people, to get this application in. So yes, we are pushing forward for this application. We are very excited. And I'm going to tell you, I was very pleased to say that this has been done in parts for us. We've been working on it. And last Friday, I got an email from the fellow from Central, and he said we had a very good, strong grant writing piece going on. So we're hoping for the grant. Yes, we put in for it. We have all intentions of getting it.
And third, with so many students unable to fully access the necessary technology to succeed in this transition to online learning, and as a teacher, I can personally speak to how difficult this experience has been for our families. What is your thinking around exclusionary/discriminatory screens for middle and high school? The city has announced that attendance cannot be used for fall admissions, but has not spoken about other screens. As you all know, the goal of D30 Equity Now is to center our most vulnerable kids, and never have they needed us more than now, especially here in District 30, where, as you said, Dr. Composto, our kids are losing so much. How will you center these kids and their families? What are you thinking when it comes to screens?
So what I'm thinking is that I work for the Department of Ed, and as they give us guidance, I follow them. But with that being said, I've learned to embrace every child. If you're a child that wants to be a gifted and talented child, you got my full support. If you're a child that's in the middle, if you're a child who wants to work with your hands, my full support. So my biggest piece right now is for our most vulnerable children to figure out where they are and do this gap, this learning gap plan, that we know that we can ensure that each and every child. One of the things I am so proud of in District 30 is we were closing the gap. We were closing the gap. And I know this has not been good for closing the gap, but I also know it is what life is, you know? So we're taking this and we're taking this lemon and going to make lemonade out of it. So what we're doing is working with each child. That was my conversation today with our principals. What are we going to do? We got to find out where they are, come up with a plan, and we're not sure. We're not sure. We're waiting for guidance for summer school. We're waiting for guidance for September. But we're forward thinking. We will be prepared for a program for summer school. And if that's not what they're going to offer, they'll offer something in September. We are forward thinking about different ways we can have programs and do AIS services with our children, to do RTI with our children. So we are forward thinking, but we are also waiting at the same time for guidance. We're not standing, sitting on our hands, but instead we're forward thinking, trying to come up with all kinds of scenarios to help our children with these gap plans, but we wait for guidance from the chancellor.
In a similar vein, anonymous attendee says, I am so glad that attention is being paid to the current fifth and eighth graders as far as stepping up ceremonies. But when can we expect to see attention to the admission policy for the current fourth and seventh graders who will be stepping up next year? We deserve transparency on what schools will be using to determine admissions.
Very fair question, and I will escalate that. Actually, maybe you could just send that to me in writing, because you said it quickly, I didn't write it. But I hear you, and we will escalate that up to the Office of Student Enrollment. We are once again waiting for guidance from the Office of Student Enrollment with these pieces.
The question is, when will we hear on admissions? But I can tell you, working with that department a little bit, they have said in about the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Are you talking about, the high school piece? Or in the middle and
admissions for next year, for middle and high school.
Oh, for middle and high. You know what? I have to apologize. I did read something. They are working forward with that. I don't have the dates there.
Yeah. I mean, it's approximate, but it certainly before the end of the school year.
Yes.
Hearing in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. They're going to be engaging parents, CEC members, parent groups. They're meeting with CEC representatives this weekend. They're meeting with President's Council, CPAC, on Thursday. So different advocacy groups. So there's a lot of discussion going on, a lot of parent input being solicited right now. As far as that goes. So I think they know that everyone's very anxious about it, and they're working on it. Next comment, anonymous, not a question. I love this. I just want to acknowledge how many times Dr. Composto has said the word children. They should be first and foremost in every decision made. Bravo. And I agree. Okay.
I agree too. That's it. The people forget that's what we're here for, our wonderful children. But we're okay in 30. We always have that question, to ask the question, how is this good for all children? So we're trying, and that's what we're trying to do right now, just figure out where every kid is with this, you know, with this virtual learning piece, with this remote learning. What happened? Where are they? Some are soaring. We know that. And some we're going to support, and we're going to help them get back to where they need to be.
Vaniqua Hudson says, I don't have a question, just a small comment. I'm the vice president of the PA, chairperson of PAC, and a parent sitting on the SLT in PS 151. I just want to say thank you so much for everything you all do in this difficult time, and I appreciate all your hard work. I wish you all good health. Thank you, Vaniqua.
Yeah, thank you, and we're so proud of 151. 151 is soaring. They had a great parade and all they did there. There's a fine example of a District 30 school that has rallied around our children. Oh, I'm so proud of all of them at 151. Kudos.
Anonymous says, live teaching would benefit student learning. If tutoring services can tutor live, DOE teachers should incorporate pre-recorded or live teaching. Elementary students need lesson reinforcement, space for questions and answers, and learning together as a class. Independent learning and learning on parents to be a supplementary teachers pushes the responsibility on parents and caregivers. Many who are not teachers may not know the subject matter or even speak the primary language to be able to interpret lessons. And I'm going to chime in here and say I think what is, in addition to the lack of having the live lessons, it is really frustrating to parents who hear that other parents, that other kids are getting it. And that to me is what I hear to be the most frustrating. And I personally understand how it can't be all the same. Nothing is all the same. But that is the most frustrating piece, to hear that this class, this school are all getting it.
Right. And you know what? I have empathy. I hear you. But I also have to have empathy with our staff that we can't mandate and we don't want to force this. And I've learned anything in my experience. When you force people to do something, it's not a good thing. So we are working. I'm proud to say that we are working very closely with all of our teachers. And one of the things that we're doing is that we're having those teachers who are doing this live share with them how it feels. Because you know what? The message that I hear from teachers too when they go live, it feels good for them too. I remember the first time that I saw the principals, I felt good. Tonight when I saw the CEC members, I felt okay. You feel good when you see somebody, but it's not a mandate. So we are working closely with them, trying to figure out how we can make them feel better. So as we ask our parents, please don't take pictures or videos and post them, because that seems to be somewhat of a concern for our staff as well. But I hear you. We acknowledge that. And we're trying to work with our staff individually to get them to, you know, do more synchronous teaching.
Husnara Ahmed says, will summer school be happening and how will students be chosen, or will all students be able to attend if they are in need of improvement? Also, any information about September and rumors about a rotating schedule? Oh, you're muted.
I'm sorry. So once again, we don't know about summer school. We're waiting. We're waiting. The message that I'm hearing is this, that we're going to have something, and they don't even know if it's going to be virtual or will it be in what they're calling brick and mortar. And I heard clearly that our most vulnerable children are going to ensure peace. So we're hoping that all of our children, those who are our most vulnerable, and also those in the middle, and maybe we can offer something. Because I do know that summer is going to be a hard time. Our pools are closed. We need something for our children to do. And I do ask that if anybody knows to lobby for our children. I mean, you do know like our programs have all been cut, our summer programs, the Beacon and all those have been cut. The pools are gonna be closed. They have this wonderful program every year for our children to work. That's not gonna be available for our children. So we do know that our children need something. So education is always a great thing, and we need to make sure that our most vulnerable children get into these spots. But we are waiting for guidance. I can't answer any of those questions as much as I want to. And I feel the same frustration that you do. But I do know one thing. We will do the right thing by our children. I promise. We just have to wait for direction from Central. But we are forward thinking. And we have all kinds of wonderful plans of how we're going to help our children catch up. And some wonderful great plans how to do enrichment for all children.
Celia O'Donnell asks, setting aside the issue of screened high schools, which is a huge issue, what can you tell us about how high school applications might look, or what the time frame for having information is? Normally, high school searches and open houses start in early September. Is the time frame likely to change?
Honestly, I don't know. I will escalate that question. And what we can do, but I know that question has been asked before, and there it's in guidance. What the message that we're trying to give, that I try to get to everybody, is business as usual. You know, that if we have to do something, we have to just keep doing what we're doing. It might be a little bit harder, like that we normally do a graduation, but we spent quite a bit of time today to make sure that we celebrate our children, even our kindergarten children, our fifth grade is stepping up. That's an important piece for them. We want them to start off with a good feeling about themselves. We want them to know that we got their backs and we support their education and we're there for them. So yes, we want all of these pieces. We are waiting for guidance, but please know we are forward thinking. And we are, as like I said to our principals today, we're gonna plan a graduation. We're gonna plan stepping up ceremonies. We're gonna do this for our children. And the same thing for summer school. We will make sure that once the dust settles and we know what we're doing, there will be specific plans for our children, that we're not wasting time, that we're gonna go right into the rubber hitting the ground and making sure that our children get these plans going and we try to keep them up to par. That's our goal.
Thank you. Jill Kaufman asks, how will middle school admissions change for current fourth graders if attendance data and test scores will not be available? I hope this creates more diversity for our middle schools.
And it just might. We really don't know. We're waiting for guidance for all of that. Those are all great questions. We just have to wait and see how it all plays out.
I should point out, I guess, so for District 30 specifically, most of our middle schools are zoned. Those cannot change. You are still entitled to go to your zoned school. The admissions changes would be to screen schools only.
We have our middle school choice program that I'm proud of. We move quite a bit of children. We intend to have that. You know, through forward thinking, I'm going to give an example. A principal had called me 2 weeks ago and said they wanted to do an open house, that they would normally do an open house for the gifted and talented. We had a nice long conversation. At the end, we're not changing. Business as usual. She had her open house. She did a wonderful job with through video. You know, she spoke, teachers spoke, children spoke. They visited pieces. So we're going forward. We're not sure. We're not sure if we're going back to brick and mortar. We don't know what will happen for the summer. But we are ready for anything that comes at us. If they want us to go back into the buildings, we're there. If they want us to continue this virtually, we're there. If they want us to pick it up in the summer, in September, we're going to be there for our children. So that's what I can promise you. One thing I always want you to know about me, I'm transparent and honest. And we're waiting, just like you, we are waiting for these decisions to be made. But it was very interesting. I was listening to the governor and the mayor today, and basically they're saying the same thing. No real decisions have been made yet. They're trying to watch the data. You know, we have another month, I guess they figure, month and a half. Where are we with the data? Are the cases going up, going down? Is it going to be smart? As someone pointed out, I'm going to echo that. It's hard to do social distancing in schools, especially our large schools, in hallways. Think about hallways, classrooms. You know, I've been reading a lot of articles, and one of them was saying in one of the other states, they're gonna reduce their class size to 10. We don't have the room to do that, you know? And the other piece for us, you know, people talking about staggered schedules, I do wanna throw in the mix that I know for a fact that many parents depend on us to watch their children. So how does that work if we only have your child 2 or 3 days a week? What are you doing for the other two? How are the parents going to work? This is a big, important piece that we have to go slow with. We have to think. You know, the first time that I went to the rec center and there was that 9-month-old baby, I was like, can you imagine? It was a first responder. That takes a lot of courage to put a 9-month-old baby in the hands of strangers. But by the way, they are great strangers. We have good people watching those rec centers. I am very proud of what's happening in those rec centers. But I also am very proud of that first responder who put their 9-month-old baby, a 21-month-old baby, I saw in there one day. I'm proud of them that they're doing that and they trust us. So we owe them too. We owe everybody here. So we are doing our best to take whatever we're given and make sure we do right by our children.
Aiden Farao asks, is there any change to the G&T structure in District 30 in terms of numbers, admissions, travel issues like bus options, given the new protocols that might be in place this fall?
At this point, nothing. We have received no guidance on that at all. So we're going forward. It's business as usual. If I hear differently, then I'm going to let you know.
Venus Ketchum says, great updates. Thank you, Dr. Composto.
Welcome.
Celia O'Donnell asks again, related to summer school, for parents of kids whose IEPs include summer programming, are schools working on a deadline to inform families what that might look like?
Absolutely. Our 12-month children, we are being very respectful of that. I know for a fact they're working out programs for our 12-month-old children, 12-month-year children as well. Yes, they will have a program. We are trying, one of the things that we didn't talk a little bit about, our special ed youngsters, we did a remote plan. Matter of fact, I was on a conference call just before this. Proud to say that 98.9% of our special ed children have this remote plan. So what we were able to do is look at our special ed youngsters and figure out how we're going to help them. And what I am so most proud of is I've been talking to principals. We've been giving a lot of one-on-one service because it's frightening. It's hard for kids. You know, if you're challenged to begin with, and now all of a sudden you're on this video and you got 11 other kids and teachers. It's hard. It's different. It's that sometimes it's just the difference makes it difficult. But we are ensuring that our children get what they want. And one of the things that we shared, and they shared this right from the beginning, and I was so proud as they were sharing good practices, they talked about how they are splitting off and, you know, they're working with individual kids. So you know what? The teacher gets a chance to see each kid for a couple of hours, each one. Our paras are doing that. We have some school aides that are also working. We have all hands on deck, parent coordinators. Everybody's working together to make sure that we can do the very best for our kids.
Dolores wants to also give you a big shout out, Dr. Composto. She says he's always there for his district.
Thank you for saying that. It makes me feel good. It's been a long road, but it's been good. Because you know what? I say it to my wife all the time. I'm just so proud when I hear good things. Do me a favor and go look at our videos on successes, on our remote successes on our website. Every time I feel a little sad, I go on that website and I look at one of those great videos. Our kids, you see these great smiling faces. It's wonderful. Check it out. You'll really enjoy it. Thank you for the compliment.
Anonymous attendee says, in my opinion, the lack of live teaching is encouraging academic regression. I respectfully state that the reasons for teachers unwilling to teach live are not adequate. The superintendent said here in this meeting that teachers may feel uncomfortable, don't want their homes on video or screen grabs to be placed on social media. However, families have had to give unprecedented access to their homes and children. It's simply not enough to assign worksheets, give a few sentences for instruction, or give a quick 2-minute live lesson. There is not learning stickiness or retention by students when lessons are being administered strictly through YouTube videos or static worksheets.
Duly noted, duly noted. I hear you loudly and clearly.
Megan Cerrito says, can Dr. Composto tell everyone more about teachers who are superstars with technology and how they are pushing in or assisting other teachers?
Yes, yes, that I'm proud to do. They are so wonderful. Matter of fact, thank you for asking that question. Just today, I had gotten a call that we were not, you know, we didn't have a high attendance in the professional learning. And when I brought it to the principals, we have such smart principals, and the consensus were two things. One, we're teaching during the day, and that's what we should be, and our children come first. So in the morning, that's what it seems like most of this was the right thing for children and staff members. So we're very strong in the morning with that. So what our principals have done is buddy up teachers. And it is wonderful to hear teachers say, so-and-so help me, and I really know what I'm doing now. We have set up office hours for our teachers to get help. Our teachers, by the way, have set up office hours for our children to come in and to get help. So I am glad to say that technology has been really wonderful. And one of the things that came out of today's meeting about we wanted to talk about the different platforms for stepping up or graduation is that we want to get all of our smart tech people in one room and see if we could figure out half of these things for this graduation. So that's our next move. So we got some really good people who are stepping up. And you know what else I'm watching? People working together. You know, a lot of times, like we have these ICT classes, you know, our teachers are also going through an emotional time. And I've seen where teachers have really stepped up and helped their partner teacher or buddied up and helped another teacher, not only in the technology piece, but also social emotionally helping them get through this. So good things are certainly happening. Our borough office has been wonderful. They have had a lot of great training. I'm learning. Matter of fact, I was modeling. I laughed at the principals today. In our workshop that we did, we went into separate classrooms. So we're teaching our teachers. It's really great. So you can start off with a group lesson and you know how you do individual lessons. So we can go into certain rooms. So a para takes 4 or 5 children and goes into one room. Another para takes 3 or 4 and goes into another room. The teacher takes them into a room and then they come back and they share. So we're all learning about this technology. And I'll tell you, I've been enjoying it. Once again, I was at some training today and I'm watching and learning how to do the technology, and it is important. I was at IS 204, was it the week before last? Guatemala. They hooked up with a professor over in Guatemala, and the children were able to ask social questions. They were such good questions that they were talking about how children are treated and how people are treated, and about food and transportation. And they were asking about medical things, what are happening like in our country. And it was like such a smart conversation on our children's part. Great questions. Sort of made me sad, a few hard questions, but they were good questions. So we are using all of our technology pieces because that's where it's at right now. You're absolutely right. And so we have the borough office, we have our schools teaching, we have also two or three people on my staff are tech savvy. They've been working with principals. So we have everybody all hands on deck. We even have a couple of parents that have helped us as well. I must shout out to them who have helped us with these graduation pieces and platforms and how to do different things. So good things are happening. And yes, the staff are sharing and we are offering lots of professional learning pieces for them. One of the things that I spent today was coming up with a list of things that we think after meeting with the principals, what kind of staff development we think our teachers need. Because they're great, they're great with their pedagogy, but now we've got to add that to this electronic piece, this remote learning piece. So lots of good things are happening in the professional learning world. Thank you for that question.
Friend to District 30, Evan Rabin of Premier Chess says, great to see everyone virtually. For those of you who don't know, Premier Chess currently runs 4 school programs in District 30 at PS 85, PS 166, PS 78, and PS 50. We are currently donating virtual lessons as fundraisers for schools. That's really terrific. Process is simple. You schedule a time and date that would be good for the school's parents for a 1-hour virtual class for all ages and levels. You decide the suggested donation and spread the word to families. You send us registration lists so we can share the Zoom link and we'll be good to go. If anyone would like to discuss the idea further, email evan@premierchess.com. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Anonymous person says, due to some students not having a device yet during the remote system, how do the teachers work with that student to catch up on all the instruction they were not given?
Thank you. I'm proud to say we have 34 today. I'm okay if we have 134 in the morning. It's all good. So one of the things that we have asked, and that's why I'm so proud of our community. We're doing one-on-one. That's what we're doing, small groups and one-on-one with our children who came in late with these devices. And believe it or not, we have been doing a lot of teaching with our parents and our children on using these devices. So it's not been an easy road, but we are doing the training with our staff, with our parents, and with our children, trying them to figure out these devices. Because we do understand that a lot of them came on late. We do understand a lot of them don't have, even though they had access to the internet, I know like one mom shared with me, they pulled it after a month or 2 months, they pulled the internet access because it was for free and then they wanted her to pay. So we try to work with her. And that's why I want to thank all of our local politicians. Please know that they've all set up some really good pieces to help our families. I know that I know a few of them that we can send parents to them and they're helping them with food or getting on the internet, clothing, rent, whatever they need. So keep our parents, we're trying to keep our parents connected to all pieces because it is important that they feel good about themselves. Maslow says, food, shelter, and clothing are first priorities to people, which makes sense. So we're working with our parents with those pieces as well.
Anonymous attendee asks, have there been any conversations with OPT or the Office of People Transportation about how to social distance on transportation?
I do know that they have been talking about that. Yes, they have been. But it all goes down to this 6-foot piece. And how many kids can we fit on a bus? And how many kids can we fit onto a classroom? But yes, I know that conversation is happening. I know we're even trying to figure it out, like in a schoolyard, you know, how we can maybe do 6 feet with X's where kids move from, you know, like the grocery stores, how you move from line to line. So we're all forward thinking. And listen, if anybody has a great idea, please share it with your principal, with your school, with me. And we're open to suggestions. We're in this forward thinking mode right now.
I was at a Staples today, and they had the aisles were one way only.
Yes, Shop and Stop does that too.
And that might be one way that, you know, the hallways go one way.
Right.
I don't know. Suzette Subance says, I would like to go on record for opposing proposed changes to middle school admissions.
No problem. We'll write that up.
Anonymous attendee says,
Can I just interject? What are the changes that have been proposed and who proposed them? Does anyone know?
The DEs just said there would be changes to middle and high school admissions. So I imagine that any changes are being opposed.
Okay. Right, but we don't know, Jonathan. We have not been informed yet.
My son and his friends are always complaining about how hot it is. How can there be no AC?
I agree, and I was a little sad when we heard, because we did. I thought it was the greatest thing ever when they finally came up with the capital plan, but we were putting air conditioners in every school. Because as someone had pointed out, you know, when you get to like May or June, some years they're horrible. September is horrible, depending, you know. So we do need that, and I don't know. And I was sort of disappointed to hear tonight that they're going to, you know, stop the capital plan for air conditioning, because we do need that. I concur.
I just like to say something about that, as well as that the budget for schools in New York State has effectively been cut. It's been kept flat, but because of inflation and other things, essentially we're getting less money from the state, and the city is proposing making huge cuts as well. So, you know, everybody right now is thinking about their priorities. You know, what should the Department of Education be spending its money on? And I think the air conditioners, it's sad that we have hot classrooms, but maybe that's not the absolute most highest priority right now.
And I hear you, and you're right. But on the other hand is we need our children comfortable with learning. But when you talk about cuts, you're right, Jonathan. What are we talking about? You know, you're talking to a person who went through the Giuliani years with the cuts, where that's where we lost our art teachers and music teachers and our counselors. I'm certainly praying and hoping we're not going back to those days. So you're absolutely right. First, we got to figure out what does it look like, this budget cut, and then we start to figure out our priorities. And our children should always be our top priority.
Anonymous attendee says, question for PAPTA. How can we contribute or give to the schools for graduation?
That's very easy. Work with your principal. Absolutely could help us. Work with your principal.
I'll just chime in. So Dr. Composto talked about changes in the regulations for PTA and SLT meetings. Our DOE representative has told us that they're working also on guidelines for voting for elections. That's all forthcoming.
Yes.
So your PTA hopefully is holding meetings. Your SLT should be holding meetings. So those are, and you can attend them from your living room now. Great questions to ask your individual schools. Your parent coordinators also, they are working every day and they are happy to help. But like Dr. Compasso said, we're doing business a little different, but also as normal right now. So ask at your school. There are a lot of bodies that would love to hear that they have help.
And I just want to throw in there about the waiver. They have put a waiver that came out last week about that you don't have to have your elections until October, and you don't have to do your SLT elections until October. But of course, and I do know that many parents have called and emailed, and I've escalated that they'd like to do this virtually, but we have not received direction yet, guidance on that. So we're just going to hold off until we have guidance, because we don't want to create a problem either. So it's all good. They've given us the waiver till October. We'll figure this out. And right now they are talking about coming up, maybe they are with a protocol that they can do elections prior to September. Once we hear, I will share with the community, I promise.
Amanda asks, Dr. Composto keeps saying that we have 3 marking periods. So why is the final grade not going to reflect that?
So that was a decision that the chancellor and his committee made when they talked about being equity and fairness for all children. So that was something that went out into the community. They had a lot of meetings, and I know there's controversy on it, but I want to keep emphasizing two things. One, we all know that we've gone through a pandemic, right? So, and I don't know. I want to be very honest. I don't know. No one has told me anything, but this is Phil speaking. I also know that our children have three marking periods. That's going to stand, you know? So when they look at the criteria, that might be part of the deal, what they look at. I also know, as someone pointed out, there were kids that didn't get devices. I have still young people that didn't get devices. It scared me that it took me a month to find children that were, to locate them. And just so you know that some, a lot of families packed up and left. Some families split up the kids, gave them to different relatives. Some went back to their country. Some went to different states. So it's hard for some families. So yes, we are going to definitely, you know, continue the, we had very clear orders from the chancellor. We were to continue our marking period grade straight through, except for the final grade. So the final grade is a letter, but we also know what our children have done. So I think we're okay, but we'll wait for further guidance on that. But I do hear what you're saying, and I understand it. But I also understand that we don't want to penalize any child because of this pandemic.
And my comment to that, knowing or understanding what you're saying, is that I think folks are confused because the logic of what you're saying is sound, so it would have made sense to make the remote learning period a binary grade and then use the data from the other three marking periods to come up with the final grade. It's confusing that the three marking periods are not being looked at and the remote marking period is still being given a grade, when that's the marking period that we need to be as flexible as possible with students. So I think that's where the confusion is that it would have made sense to flip it, to have the meets and needs be for the final marking period and then use the prior grades before remote learning for your final grade.
And I've heard that argument, and I'm sure the chancellor did in his committee. But like I said, you know, our job is to take the guidance and work with it. Yep. So for me, and I hear everybody, yep. Yes. I'm just happy that our children are okay and we're moving forward. And we'll see. We don't know. I know that questions are being asked about the screens, about the gifted and talented. And once we get some direction, I think we can answer the questions better.
In that vein, Genevieve George asks, in 2018, it was decided with input from us parents that all current students will be grandfathered into the auto articulation at any district GNT school up until kindergartners ending in September 2018. I hear there is talk of making changes to admissions policies. I do not support additional changes being made to middle school and high school admissions right now. Can you explain why you are considering to remove this specific policy amidst all this uncertainty and adding to even more uncertainty?
Right. So that doesn't come from the district. These are not district decisions. Those are central decisions. And the chancellor and his committee are working with the Office of Student Enrollment to figure all of that out. But one thing that everybody has to understand, these are not district decisions. These are decisions. We work for the Department of Education, and we're considered by New York State one district, New York City. So our chancellor is truly the superintendent of all of New York City. And along with his cabinet, they're looking at all of these pieces, trying to be fair to all children and come up with some solutions.
Bob DeGraff says that he also wants to support the auto articulation for middle school.
Not a problem. I wrote it down and we will certainly escalate it up. And I know I've heard it before, but I will certainly say that I had this meeting and that's what people are asking mm-hmm. for.
Anonymous attendee says, what do we do for Google Meets? What is the protocol? Do the teachers make these meetings or cancel because of PTC or assessment? Our children want to see their friends and nothing yesterday or today. Oh, parent-teacher conferences or assessment. Our children want to see their friends and nothing yesterday or today.
So that sounds like an individual question. Nobody has told me that, and I did not hear any direction that we shouldn't be doing it. So whatever school that is, they need to go back to the principal, and they're always welcome to come to me, but I would start with the principal to see why. That's an individual thing. That was not something that was a directive from myself or a directive from Central.
Jordan Milov, I'm a parent of a second grader and a fourth grader, both in the TAG class at PS150. I understand the DOE may be reevaluating screen school admissions for the next year, including automatic articulation for GNT students. Are there any anticipated changes with respect to the automatic articulation of TAG students from PS150 into the middle school classes at PS122? Under current agreement with the DOE, the current second graders at PS150, 2012 birth year, are the last class that have automatic articulation from PS150 into PS122. Is this anticipated to change?
Listen, Phil Yen speaking, business as usual. That should have nothing to do with any decisions that are being made. That was something that we were granted and receiving that grandfather in. I don't see that going away. I've heard no discussion, and I'm not bringing it up because business as usual, that's something that we have, that auto articulation, and we're going to hopefully keep it. Unless I hear something different from the chancellor, it's in place.
Anonymous attendee says, please clarify about capital improvements to schools. Are projects like air conditioners and playground renovations simply postponed, or is School Construction Authority and the DOE completely abandoning these projects?
I'll tell you the truth. I checked in with district planning, and they're still building our school. They're not stopping any of that. I was working with the space planner because we needed to do something in one of our other schools to prepare for our children that we're going to put there, and they said they're going to do it. So I have heard nothing about them canceling or postponing any jobs at this point.
George H., I will butcher your last name if I try it. I'm sorry. We'll keep it. We'll have it in the record. Gail will have it in the record. But George H. says, will the new grab-and-go location opening tomorrow have halal and kosher food options?
So, I'm not sure, but thank you for saying that, because that was one of the questions I wrote back when I heard they were opening it. But we do have halal at PS69, and there are two kosher stations in District 24. But I do agree that I did ask for that today, but I don't know at this point, but I hear you.
Anonymous attend, Alice Aldage says, Alice again, thank you, Dr. Composto, for moving forward with the diversity grant. We're really grateful for it.
You're welcome.
Anonymous attendee says, can paper school books be sent to students if learning remotely continues? It has been difficult having kinder and first graders using computers to type into Google Docs, slides, and PDF documents. They also take away handwriting practice and autocorrect work, thus making it hard to discern children demonstrating their authentic skills and writing abilities.
So we are in the midst right now. I hear you, and thank you. That's a good question and a question that I've asked more than once. So we're in the process. They finally came up with a protocol to allow our staff members to go in for only necessary things. Like, so if they need something for their teaching, they need something personal. And I've worked with families, by the way. We had a couple of, you know, somebody left their glasses, somebody else left something that was personal and they needed it. And I've worked with the principal and the custodian to get it. They are looking at a protocol to allow parents to pick up their students' belongings, their books and stuff. But once again, they have to think this out, right? Because we have lots of people who want it. The good news is, we at one point, the custodian said they were cleaning, and we stopped their cleaning. No personal items will be disposed of. They belong to our children, belongs to our staff members. So there is a protocol that came out yesterday for staff members. We're following that for those staff members who need to get in for personal stuff or for teaching materials. Next, they're going to work on a plan for our children and our parents to get their belongings. So once that comes out, we will share that with our parents, and we're not sure what that'll look like, but we are not disposing of any materials. And I agree with you. Some schools were able to distribute books and others did not, but we hear you and we would love to get these books into your hands because I get it, you know, I share it. Listen, I'm like you. Every time I print something out, I'm worried about the running out of ink and, you know, the printer going down because I'm constantly printing. So I get it. So we have intentions of figuring this out, but we're waiting for guidance. The only thing that we know so far, which just came out last night, is the protocol for our staff members to go into school if they need to. And the next we'll talk about is the protocol for getting our families to get their books and belongings back as well.
Anonymous attendee says, are running records mandatory if we are already in the fourth marking period and grades are needs improvement and satisfactory?
So first of all, that's going to be a school to school individual thing. For me, it's not always about where is my kid? Is he really super high? For me, testing assessment is it's our roadmap. It helps us as teachers to figure out where we have to go with our children. So you know, that's the reason why we need to continue to figure out where are we. You know, we all know there was something that happened. You know, like I said earlier, some children thrived with these devices. Others didn't even have them. Those who had them sometimes weren't good with them. So that we have a variety of people. So I see assessment as a way to help us figure out where our children are. And I'm calling them learning gap plans. We've got to catch them up. For those youngsters who did not have the opportunity that another one did with these devices, we've got to catch them up. So that's really where we are and waiting at this point for that.
Venus Ketchum suggests for those kids not getting live instruction, maybe they can meet in small groups with the guidance counselor or social worker.
So very fair. Matter of fact, there was a couple of schools and the principal even volunteered after I spoke to her. She was wonderful. She volunteered and worked. So if you work with your school and if you're not satisfied, but I know you're going to be satisfied because we have had this conversation with our principals and they're stepping up to the plate and they're assigning a guidance counselor. Like I said, the principal was doing reading to the children so that they would see somebody live from the school. So lots of people are doing the very best they can. And we will promise that if your child needs to see an adult in a school, we'll find that adult for them.
Anonymous attendee asks, as the wife of a teacher, if summer school occurs, will teachers go through the usual process of volunteering to teach, or will it be like the canceled spring break where they are voluntold?
So that's an interesting piece because summer school brings our teachers who want it, and it's called retention rights, meaning that there are a lot of teachers out there that would love to teach summer school, the younger ones especially, but those who already taught summer school have retention rights. So it's all about their rights to come back. If they open up summer schools, they have a right first to come back. If they choose not to, they're not going to be forced to, but, and I don't know this to be a fact, but in the past, in the real world that we were living, if a teacher gave up a summer position, he or she lost their retention rights. So I don't think anybody will be forced to work this summer. Because don't forget that, you know, summer school is an extra added expense. So what I'm hearing is the most neediest children for sure, and then they're going to figure out the rest, what it'll look like. So we're just waiting for guidance on that.
I just want to give a shout out. George H. is actually from Assemblyman Dendecker's office. Thank you for coming. We always like when our electeds attend our meeting. Danny Drum has representation here. I don't know if Megan Cerrito is here on her own or for Kathy Nolan, but we thank her as well. If there are any other elected representatives here or their proxies, please put your name in the chat so we can recognize you. An anonymous attendee says, due to the pandemic and safely social distancing, is the DOE using this time to find new space for co-located schools?
So business as usual. When I met with district planning and they talked about the zoning, I talked about how, you know, we still need sites in our Jackson Heights area. We still need sites in our LIC area. They said they're still on the hunt. They're still out there looking. Of course. You know, I don't know who's out really looking because of the, you know, shelter in law, but as it opens up and they're permitted to go out. So if you do know of a site that's up for grabs, please let me know and I would forward it over to Lorraine Grillo and her people. So yes, I believe they are still looking for pieces. And I do know in meeting with district plan, they are going to continue to build our 384 school and it's going to be on schedule.
To that end, a parent forwarded me the closing of a business that was a whole block long, and she said, hey, this would make a great school, and I forwarded it to Mike Marisola, and I said, I don't know if you're looking, but he said, yep, we are, thank you. So,
beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. That's what we have to do. Keep forward thinking. Don't let this paralyze us. We're going to keep moving.
Also, I was at the PEP meeting, the Panel for Educational Policy. They had a co-location on the agenda, and there was a lot of concern because it was a small high school that was being co-located by a charter school, and some of the panels said, well, you know, some of the speakers said, why are we co-locating schools when we're looking to actually reduce the social distance between schools, between children, and now you're adding a school to a building when we need fewer kids in the school. And they considered it, but they did ultimately approve the co-location. So in answer, they absolutely are approving co-locations. in those cases. Anonymous attendee says, I understand that there were budget cuts throughout the city. As a teacher that hosted the after-school reading club, my students are always asking, when will book club or any other after-school activities be offered virtually?
So, unfortunately, we were planning some pieces, but as everybody has pointed out, the budget has been cut, you know, and at this point, we've been asked not to do anything unless it's COVID-19 related, and just recently, they've released some more of the school monies to help our children celebrate, whether it's a stepping up ceremony or graduation ceremony. So those are the only two pieces in play right now as far as the money is concerned. But we are hoping also that we can go back to our after-school programs.
Anonymous attendee, this appears to be a teacher who wanted to weigh in saying, teachers want to teach, please know this. We are also mourning the loss of the classroom and are heartbroken about the current situation, all of it. We are also juggling all of the moving parts. We miss our students. We worked so hard to support them along the way. Now to be divided and trapped behind a screen is frustrating for us all. We are communicating with kids and parents all day via FaceTime, WhatsApp, Zoom, meets, emails, phone calls, dealing with tech help, check-ins, and much, much more. Remember, some kids cannot attend live sessions due to many different factors, and the parents seem to appreciate the recorded teachings that can be accessed at a time that works best for them. We are trying. We need a balance. We are trying our best. We promise. We love your
kids. We have wonderful, listen, we have wonderful, hardworking teachers that are going beyond the call of duty. But I like the last sentence, balance. We got to find a balance here. That's what we have to do, find our balance.
Melissa Lertzman has a fabulous question. She says, do you know if there's a plan to provide feminine hygiene products to our District 30 students at the schools that are also distributing free food? Last I checked, they weren't, and I know that's so important for the health and dignity of many of our students.
So that was brought up already, and they're working on a piece for that. I know that was brought up at one of the town hall meetings, and it was noted by the executive superintendent who brought it up that they were considering, you know, if they could provide those pieces at like a rec center. But once again, we're waiting for guidance. But it was escalated to Tweed.
Valerie L. has a comment. Shout out to Dr. Composto, the best and hardest working superintendent in New York City. Thank you for all that you are doing for our children and the district. Please know that we appreciate everything that you are doing for all of us in the district, children, parents, teachers, and staff. Thank you.
I appreciate those kind words. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
A great theoretical question from Anonymous. How would school fire drills and shelter in place drills be handled with respect to social distancing policy?
We'd have to figure it out. Let me tell you something, as a principal for almost 13 years, those are important pieces. We always want our children to be prepared to go. There was a cute little video that I sent out to people in China. The kids were making these hats with like wings that were 6 feet so that they would know the social distancing. And I said, when we go back, we'll have to have each child make a hat so they can figure out where it is. Listen, we'll have to mark the floors just like they're doing in the grocery stores, as Deborah said, one ways and all those good things, forward thinking. So we have already spoken to our principals to start to talk about this with their communities. What do they see this if we go back? What are some ways that we can make sure social distancing is in place? But as you all know, we have to be careful in cafeterias, right? And we are an overcrowded, we are an overcrowded district. As it is, some of our schools have 3 and 4 lunch periods. Parents, rightfully so, are never happy when they hear that their children are starting lunch at 10:30 in the morning. We can't start much earlier than that, you know? So all these pieces have to get into play and figure out. It's not gonna be as easy as it sounds. Because once you start, you know, putting children in hallways, and I know that our children will work with us and be smart and we'll be able to figure this out, but we also know that there's a lot of children. So we have to know that as well. And even the mask, I know that a lot of people have emailed me that their kids are not comfortable wearing masks. Are we going to force kids to wear masks? I don't know. You know, I would hope that we never force anybody to do something if they're uncomfortable with it. You know, I know that when the and it was in March when it started, they said that if kids or staff wanted to wear masks, they could. So once again, I don't know. We're waiting for guidance on that. We're waiting for guidance to see what we can do. But think about what I said. We have schools with 1,200 children in it. We have schools with 1,700 children in it. You know, some of our schools are smaller, 400, 500, 600. But still, there was a school that I read an article, and they do a whole analogy. And these schools that hold 1,200 would have to have almost less than half the kids, you know. And we've talked about staggered schedule, but we also know that may not be good for all of our parents. So lots of pieces are in play. We just have to wait and wait for the guidance and keep thinking of ways of, once we get the notice, how this is going to work for us.
I hope that our next meeting will have a lot of guidance to share. Anonymous says, I'd like to commend our speech and language service providers in our district. They are mandated to go live for all their sessions and we're up and running from day one.
Yes, yes. There's lots of great things that are happening out there. Lots of wonderful, smart, wonderful, great people stepping up. And certainly our speech people were wonderful. OTs and PTs as well. You know, really good things are happening and I thank them. Thank them all. I thank everybody, even for those people who are working super hard, but they're just not ready to do something. It's hard. I get it. We want everybody to think of our children and to move forward in a safe manner.
Anonymous attendee says, air conditioning should be considered essential capital improvements. Non-circulating hot air is a breeding ground for germs, aggravates asthma and respiratory issues, etc. Many schools and classrooms don't have temperature-controlled abilities. Classroom sinks should ideally exist as well. Our facilities need modern improvements to meet health and hygiene needs.
Very fair statement. Duly noted. I agree.
I'm going to give an elected shout-out to Ariella Davidoff from Queensborough President Sharon Lee's office. The Queensborough president held a really great parent advisory committee last week. So thank you for coming to ours.
Yes, I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. They did a great job.
Anonymous asks, since we didn't have the April break, will we end the school year earlier?
I believe not. I think we're going right to the end the way we did. But once again, we're waiting for guidance on that.
Our last in the Q&A box is from Anonymous. Thank you for the response about the Parent Association. But with this new way of living, how can we give back to our school as far as funds to assist with graduations for all the children moving up, pre-K, K, fifth graders, if books are in school? Is it true schools are open for us to pick up resources?
No. Parents are at this point are not invited to do that. We want to make it safe. They're working downtown on a protocol. As I said, just yesterday we received the protocol that staff could go in at their own risk, by the way. They were very clear about that. But there was all kinds of protocols. So, and one of the things I immediately asked, because I know parents have been, you know, asking, when will our parents, and they said they're working on some kind of a protocol to invite parents back as well. But all right. It's not out yet. Parents, at this point, parents are not there yet. Matter of fact, we had opened a couple of schools a couple of weeks, you know, in between we're giving out devices. So they came to the school. And it worked out fine because we did schedules, and kudos to the four or five principals that did this. They did these great schedules. Nobody ran into each other. They had everything packed and ready to go. And they met them at the door. They handed it to them. They did with the paperwork they had to, and off they went. They even asked them to bring their own pens and stuff. So it went very well. But we are not up to that. We are waiting for guidance from Central about parents picking up their belongings.
Okay. Well, I have a couple more, but I want to go to the, we have one call on the phone. Gail, can you connect them?
It's like Salem. It's a really big screen because it has Facebook parking, a bus lane.
Hi, you're live on your little easy meeting. Parking.
It's still the only place to go. That's what's for you.
Hello? Hi? You're at the District 30 CEC meeting. Did you have a question or a comment? Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll try again after these questions. Two more in the box. Shout out, Anonymous says, shout out to New York Edge, who are continuing their after-school programming at 122 for middle school. The students love seeing each other and their counselors. It's a morale booster for all of them.
We have several of our community-based organizations doing that as well. Yes, shout out to them. Kudos. Thank you.
Anonymous says, perhaps parents who have the ability to work from home can maintain remote learning, and those who do need to send their kids to school are given priority to physically attend school. And perhaps Zoom can operate inside the classroom when school resumes so that the whole class can learn together.
Good suggestion, and I know that it's been brought forward as one of the suggestions of if we open up schools, what they could look like.
All right, our caller hung up. Any other comments from council members before we head towards a break? Oh, I have another question. Hang on. As a parent of on the PAPTA, there aren't allocated funds. How can we help our families if the funds are to be in the schools?
I'm not totally understanding that. What I think it is, because I know we've worked with a couple of PTAs where their books are inside the school, so they can't get in there to get their money. Is that it? And write out checks and all. So we all have to be patient at this point. Like I said, there's a lot of pieces in movement. One of the things that they've done is make sure that all of our schools are clean. They've cleaned all the doorknobs, the railings, every little piece. And one of the things that's why we won't, this protocol with the staff calls for very slow movement, and that where they're not walking all over the building. And the same thing for when we allow parents. We don't want to contaminate these buildings again. You know what I mean? We know that they're clean for our children for when they have to go back. So we are working on a protocol, as I said, for our parents to pick up this stuff. But we're not there yet.
To add to that, I know as a CEC body, we're looking to for ways to utilize the funds that we are given also to help the community. We're going to be talking about that tonight, but there's a lot of constraints on what can be purchased and what can be what the money can be used for, where it can be delivered to. If there's no school to pick up a delivery, then where does it go, and how is the accountability handled? So it is very, very complicated. I know for us, I'm sure for PAs and PTAs too, but we are looking to later tonight in our business meeting. We'll be talking about ways that we can possibly help help families with our CEC funds. It's just a lot of red tape and things to figure out. I will ask that, though, about how PTAs can use their money when their checkbooks are elsewhere at our next meeting with the DOE.
We've asked that question, by the way. So, yes, Sharon King will help us, and Eloise had an answer, but the answer is not what we want to hear, actually, but go ahead.
Diana Limongi is clarifying. She thinks that as a PTA co-president, we want to know how we can help our families if we don't have funds set aside in the budget specifically to help families that need the help for food and other needs for our vulnerable families. Yeah.
So, and I know that there was a PTA who had approached me, and we went to the conflict board because they wanted to like get money out. And apparently there is some kind of regulation that you can't do that. So, but during Sandy, the chancellor did relax the regulation and they were able to use their monies to help other families. But at this point, that has not happened.
George from Assemblyman Dundecker's office asks, could you try to get some kind of clarification on halal food availability? Because the mayor's office has stated that halal food should be available at every grab-and-go site during Ramadan. If that's not feasible, that is understandable, but we do have a huge Muslim population in East Elmhurst and Jackson Heights.
So we have it at PS 69 for sure right now. And I'm going to petition for 152, and I'll ask if we can have it at any school. I will ask if we can have it at all the schools. I will put the request in.
This was brought up at the PEP meeting also. Brooklyn district was asking as well. So it is something that the DOE knows about.
Yes, it's been escalated, yeah. But we'll escalate it again.
We'll keep the Q&A open if anyone wants to ask a question, but we are currently out of questions right now, pending any council members who want to say anything. But I just want to say thank you to Dr. Composto for this marathon. We appreciate not only the answers, the thoughts that goes behind them, but also how I know when he writes it down, you're getting an answer. So it goes where he says it's going to go. So don't think you're just shouting into the ether. So we all appreciate it. Do any other council members want to say anything or have a question? We're going to take like 10 minutes before our business meeting, which is also open to the public if anyone wants to hang out and listen. I also have to shout out to the teachers. I know that it's uneven, but the amazing work that has been shared with me, by and large, across the board, the teachers are putting in way more than their 6 hours and 20-minute days. They are working, they are hurting, they have their own families, and what the success stories, even if there are less successful stories, the success stories are really amazing and mind-blowing what's been accomplished. Will the recording be for this meeting be available? I don't know the answer to that. It is recorded, and we are required to have minutes of the meeting. I don't know if we are required to post the recording or not. Not that we have to go by what's required, but I will find out, and I can let you know, Craig.
And I should say that the CEC will be launching a new website soon, and that is the very kind of thing that we can post on the website, if it is available or whether it's available. Mm-hmm. So look for that.
Yes, a shout out to Jonathan, who has worked tirelessly with our new web designer to create a really amazing website. So a plug for our website, cec30.org. It's coming very, very soon. Tons of resources. Also, not to step on the district's website, which is also great.
Yes, yes.
But lots of good online resources. All right. And anyone else on the council want to say anything before folks start logging off? All right. It is 8:37.
Motion to adjourn?
Yes. Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Thank you. Second. Me. All in favor of adjourning. Raise your hands or push your raise hand button. Okay. Very good. Okay. We will be back at 8:47, we will start talking on the machine again. I will see you then. You can pause your videos.
Thank you, everyone,
so much for coming. We really, really, really appreciate it and bearing with us through all of the technology. And we hope to see you in a smoother fashion in June. Gail, June 16th, when is the meeting?
June 16th.
June 16th. Great. And stay tuned. I don't know if anyone's still here, but we may be also having a town hall with the chancellor in June. We're working on that. So have a good night, everyone. All right, 8:47.
We seem to have lost some people.
Everybody come back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We lost Amina and Shannon.
Hello, I'm back.
We have a couple more thank yous.
I'm here.
Let's get my phone.
I'm here.
I'm going to call Amina and Shannon, okay? Just give me a minute for that. Let's see what happened.
Yeah, give them a sec. You just texted them.
Okay.
I'm here, Deb.
I see you, Katrina. We need Shannon to call our roll. Oh, Shannon might be in as an attendee. Dr. Composto, is that a cuckoo clock behind you?
Yes, it is. You know, that cuckoo clock, my grandfather gave it to me. It says that it was made in West Germany. That's how old it is. Over 100 years old, believe it or not.
Wow. Wow. And it works? It cuckoos?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It works perfectly. Yeah. The only thing about these cuckoo clocks, twice a day, you got to wind them, you know? So I usually wind them before I go to work in the morning and when I come back in the evening. When I was a little guy, I admired it. So my grandfather left it for me. So it's very nice.
Yes, it's very cool.
Okay, they're coming back. We'll just give them a minute, okay?
Is this our business meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I come back correct?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, perfect.
You want to call the roll, Shannon? I mean, I'll be here in a sec.
Yeah, where's my attendance sheet?
So it says Deborah Alexander for Shannon.
That's strange.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Okay, I'm going to change you. I'm not good at this.
There we go.
So Amina's saying it's not letting her come back in.
Sometimes you have to start all over again.
Yeah.
That happened to me before too. Like let it close out totally and come back in.
Or sometimes the window won't pop up, the second window that says allow Zoom, and you have to push.
I had to go back out and come back in.
Yeah. Shannon, you want to call the roll? And we'll just.
Yes. Yes, Ms. Deborah, Mr. Robert.
Present.
Mr. Jonathan. Ms. Fatima, Ms. Shannon here, Ms. Amina, Ms. Nula, Ms. Carr, and Ms. Katrina.
Present.
Yes, great. We have one more comment and question in the chat that I just want to put on the record. Adriana Lynch, former CEC member, writes, "Sorry, I am late. Good evening to all. First, let me say thank you to the CEC for making this meeting happen and for all your hard work. To Dr. Composto, thank you for your continued leadership during this unprecedented time. You have always put the children first, and I appreciate you. I just wanted to make a comment. The new grading policy announced by the DOE has caused a tsunami of emotions amongst the parents in this district. Some are happy that all children will get assessment standards or needs improvement. Others, like myself, feel incredible stress. As a parent of a sixth and seventh grader, I've been trying to figure out how this policy will impact the chaotic high school admissions process. In my humble opinion, the DOE is just putting a Band-Aid on a problem that has been going on for decades. Since it seems that the DOE is set on keeping this grading policy, can we please tell the powers that be that high school admissions should require them to look at the entire year's worth of work?"
Very fair statement, and that has been forwarded to everybody, even our eighth graders and anybody else, our fifth graders. That's a guidance that everybody's recommending. So we'll see where it bounces.
Okay, thank you, Adriana. Okay, so where is my agenda? Or Rob, do you want to take over?
I'd have to get my agenda too. Like, if you want to start hopping on.
We need to approve our
not
minutes.
Too much.
Everyone has just we can do the minutes. That's easy. Everyone should have gotten the minutes. And do I have a motion to approve the minutes from our March meeting? Anybody? Anybody?
I approve.
Great. Second?
Okay. Second.
Scott, all in favor of approval of the minutes? Great. Perfect. All right. Minutes approved.
Next to the budget mods.
Great. So I don't know if everybody knows this. Gail had said it. The DOE has allowed us to make additional budget modifications, which means we have access to our money again. We've talked some about how to spend it. It's like I said earlier, it's very tricky on what we can get, what they'll approve us to get, and on with what payment method. I had been talking, what did I bandy about? I had mentioned maybe school supplies for our most struggling schools, but Gail pointed out who's going to accept them, where do we keep them? That's tricky. What were some of the, okay, so before I get to the big idea that Jonathan raised, the one thing that I had heard of that might be neat in this age is buying some video or investing in some video software that we can then lend out to our schools who are now doing all of these virtual tours and virtual recitals and things, that maybe they could use some sort of video editing software that we could purchase for everybody to use. As an idea. I don't know what you guys think.
I think in principle, that seems like a good idea. My concern is that we would need to engage those schools to know what software they want. And there would need to be some kind of an application that enough of them wanted that we thought would be useful. Because there's going to be just, you know, a real range of abilities and, you know, expertise in this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of video software that's really cheap or free as well. So, you know, they may not even need it.
Yeah, we were talking about that. And I thought maybe Dr. Composto, you could put out a feeler and see if it's something at your next principal meeting that would be of interest to them. Maybe they don't care and don't want it. It's a waste of money.
So we were thinking that we've been talking about these stepping ups and we're looking at platforms. So one of the things that we're concerned about is, and I know even myself, as we get on these, some of the platforms, the more people you have on, they collapse on you, you know? So like even like today with the graduations, they were concerned. So I think they would appreciate it, but I don't think if anybody even knows, Jonathan, do you have a platform that can hold you know, 2,000-3,000 people?
This would be something different. This would be video editing software. It wouldn't be live. And so they could use it for their virtual tours or to make a video of the graduation.
Well, let me ask software to
make videos. And then it would just live forever with the CEC and we could lend it out to whoever wanted it. I hear what you're saying, Jonathan. It was just an idea to spend money that we have that, so it doesn't go back to the DOE and that might be useful to all of the schools. But, you know, they all have technology teachers that someone who could, you know, figure it out. But maybe gauge some interest. It wouldn't be a lot of money to spend anyway. It was just...
I'll ask. You know what? I hear you. It's not a bad thing. I appreciate you thinking of them. It's a nice thing.
So, Jonathan, why don't you talk about your idea, about the ECC's idea?
So I can't take credit for this idea. This was the ECC had worked with the DOE to come up with this idea in response to other CECs who had identified real needs in their community from students in temporary housing and their families. So I sent around the notice and basically they are setting up a program so that would allow us to donate, that the DOE would purchase items with the money that we're donating to students in temporary housing. I really don't know. Maybe some others of you know, but I can only imagine that we have increasing numbers of students in temporary housing at this time, with the economy being what it is, and you know, people losing their jobs and all that stuff. And so I think this is a very timely idea. And to the extent that we have money left over, this seems like a ready-made, easy way for us to use it for something really good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that if I don't want to give the money back when we can be helping people. Obviously, I would love to spend it on something for our District 30 families, but you know, I think it's lovely if we have the money and we're not spending it. I think we should absolutely pay it forward to the people who need it. With the understanding that if we did this, we wouldn't know exactly where it would go. It might go to district whoever, not necessarily kids in temporary housing in District 30.
We do have a lot of children in temporary housing, by the way. We do have schools that have children like that. So
actually, I looked it up, and K through 8, for the last year on the worksheet that the Central gave us, 1,687 students in temporary housing, K through 8.
Which is not as small. 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we do have.
Maybe if we want to, because my understanding is that the money would go to the ECC and they would be in charge of distributing it. So I don't know that District 30 would end up seeing anything or not. If the initiative is purely to help folks in temporary housing, we could do that just for District 30 families. Or we could just sign on to this initiative. Those are different ideas. I don't know. Does anyone have any thoughts? So my questions are: thoughts about spending money that would be good for District 30 families, good for the CEC. We've been very successful with the website. That was a great expenditure. Ways in which we can help people with the money, because in 6-7 weeks, whatever we have left goes away. In fact, when the budget modifications close, it goes away. So we need to spend, how much, what are we talking about, Gail? What's left?
Okay, so everybody should have had this, the budget. I sent that today.
Oh, that's here too, okay.
Okay, so I do need some money put into the Code 100, the basic supply. All right, so we need to move some money there. I don't think we can take the money and use it for students in District 30 in temporary housing. I think the DOE has only set that up for a citywide initiative.
Okay.
That was the impression I got today. And if that's what you want to do, then Jonathan, you have to be in touch with the ECC, because I actually tried to research it and get information today so I would know the budget codes, because the money has to be scheduled like now. So You'll have to contact the ECC and to ask them how we should budget the funds once we decide how much. Okay?
Yeah, I can do that. And I can also ask them if they can try to distribute it to all of the districts that participated in the program so that, you know,
All right, they're looking for $30,000. The DOE is looking for $30,000, they said, right? Okay.
So we have, which would make sense distributing it evenly among the districts. So we've got around 9, it looks like.
Yes.
Right? Let's take out, what do you need to put in the supplies? What would you like to put in the supplies?
Okay, so the P card, I would like you to leave alone and not touch that money. That money I still have not purchased for sneak peek and everything, but now I can.
Got it.
Okay. But into the 100 code, if we could move $1,000 in there, that would be helpful.
Great.
That'll still leave us a lot of money.
So 2 for the P card and 1 in the 100 is 3, which leaves us with 6,800.
Yeah.
To spend.
Unless there's something else that you want, we could buy another set of translation equipment if you wanted. And maybe be a little more active with loaning it out than we have been. We haven't been advertising it that much. You know, something like that too. But the students in temporary housing certainly could use the money.
So we could, in theory, we could donate more than the 1,000, right?
Oh, yeah. Right, Jonathan?
Yeah. No. We can donate as much as we want. It's just that they're looking total to make this a viable program to get 30,000 total from whatever councils decide to.
So this would, if we donated more, it would help make up for whatever districts don't. So I'm fine with that. I hate leaving the money left over. Not that the DOE can't use it, but I like using it to know where we're spending it as opposed to, you know, remodeling the chancellor's office or something, you know, like I like knowing where it's going.
Being close to the deadline, do we just want to allocate the rest of the funds or have a round number like $5,000?
Yeah. Gail, do you, I don't anticipate them opening up the budget modification period again in the next 7 weeks. So, but I also, what if they do and we would have money to spend? It's like, should we leave 1,000 just in case and then do the 5, like Rob says?
That we could certainly do.
I don't know. I just.
I don't know either, yeah.
Have no money in the bank.
All right, let's leave $5,000 for the students in temporary housing. I'm going to move some money into the other budget, into 100, which is where it needs to be, all go now. And that'll still leave us a little money.
I mean, I think we can still get sanitizer and more masks if you can get them.
I ordered 150 masks and 6 bottles of sanitizer, but I'm sure we could use more.
Yes, and as long as we're allowed to get those will be helpful come September if kids are going back. We can pass them out. We can.
Okay, that's a great idea. All right.
So we can use them for us, but we can also just give them to the schools because they're going to need so many.
Yeah.
All right. What do you guys think? 5,000 to temporary housing moving. Mm-hmm. Do we need to do separate motions for each of these moves, or can we do it all in one motion?
You can do one motion as long as it's we detail it.
Okay. So I'm going to make a motion, donate $5,000 to the ECC Temporary Housing Initiative.
Okay.
Move $2,000 into the Code 100.
Or move the remaining funds. Let's just say the remaining funds into Code 100. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a second.
Second.
Jonathan. All in favor. Fatima. Scott. I see you. Okay. I got to move. See
everyone. I got one nail on this finger.
Yes. Great. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess if Newland and Katrina want to chime in, they're on mute now. I don't know if they want to tell us later or.
Let me unmute them. Nope, they don't want me to unmute them.
It's a hard mute.
They're in control.
They got a hard mute. Katrina.
Katrina, do you go along with that budget mod?
Whatever you choose to do, I'm all for it.
Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you. Right, thank you.
Okay. New business. Who's got some new business?
Town Hall.
Town Hall. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So.
Bless you.
Okay. I can't think of a reason not to have a town hall if the chancellor's willing. What do you all think?
I think definitely. We'll have, our questions are only going to expand. Now that some of the families are now knowledgeable of what we're doing, they'll have their own questions they could provide. We could have some time beforehand where they could, submit their questions so that we don't have any duplication. But I think it's definite. We definitely should do it.
Yeah. Last we spoke, they were willing. I don't know. We'll, on our next Diana call, we will bring this up to her and she'll take it back. But
Something curious. I know we were, there's like this, the people that were invited for the Zoom meeting are finite, and different schools were supposed to announce the meeting. I have kids in two different schools. Neither of them gave me any kind of update that there would be a meeting, a CEC meeting today. So I don't know if it's really extending to some of the other groups as much as we want it to. I don't know, this is kind of a trial run and we're just figuring it out, but it's, I don't know if the word really expanding to everyone, and especially if we're going to meet the chancellor, we might want to find a way to promote it a little bit.
So Dr. Costo, can you remind your folks to send CEC information out to their people? You're on mute.
I mean, often it's backpack, but now, we don't have that function, so. Yeah, he's on mute.
He has a hard mute.
He has a hard mute.
Dr. Costo,
you're on mute.
Can you unmute him, Gail? Maybe he doesn't know.
I can't. I'm trying.
Let's see where he can.
I think it is from his computer.
It's at the bottom of your screen, probably, to the left.
There we go.
How's that? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, I got to get my picture back. I don't know what happened.
23rd, and Shannon's was May 6th, their birthday.
Wait, what?
Shannon.
Okay, go ahead, Doc.
So what was the question? I'm sorry.
Just communicating any announcements. Like, we're talking about the town hall for.
I apologize. Chancellor. I didn't know that. I didn't ask him to do that, but we will. I promise you. Absolutely. I will make sure that they put it on their website and send it out even to their parents. Absolutely. We'll do that.
I asked them to.
Did you? All right. Next time I'll ask them. They'll do it. Not to worry. It's crazy times.
Almost 100 people. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I would say they did it.
And it was a good discourse. They had pointed questions that were, everyone wanted that information. So it's like, it wasn't like contentious at all. It wasn't like, any kind of attacking. We're trying to work together in this. And I think the ones that posed the questions, they were part of the team, say.
Yeah, I thought they were very fair questions, and everybody was very polite. I did not have a problem with that meeting at all. They were good. They were good, very professional people.
We're going to try to change that for the next one, Dr. Composta. We'll see what we can do.
I'm sorry we lost our callers.
Oh.
So the meeting is the town hall meeting is supposed to be June 2nd, so we actually need to plan that quickly,
right? I was just going to say the reason not to have it, and I don't necessarily think we shouldn't have it. I'm just saying the reason not to have it, I think, was in part on some kind of hope that we could reschedule it for the fall at a time when we could have it in person. I think that I don't think that's likely to happen in person in the fall. So it doesn't seem, it doesn't seem like it's worth.
Yeah, of all things, a large gathering is not going to be high on their list of things to do to begin.
If he could guarantee the meeting, I wouldn't mind postponing it. I don't want to lose the window if we have it kind of slated for June. Yes. I don't want to lose that opportunity either.
Because it's usually every other year that we get a meeting. So. I'll bring it to Diana. I'll say that we're all for it. If he's still willing, see what she says.
Okay.
Any other new business?
Do we want to talk about this meeting and the technology and how it went and sure. think about how to do it even better?
Yeah.
Sure.
Wait, is Nuala Tweed Courthouse?
That might be Diana.
Yeah, I think she came Diana. In late.
That wasn't there earlier.
Oh, it is. Got it. he is, okay, she's here. That's great. So he is willing to do a town hall remotely. Great.
Oh, she's responded. Okay. Thank you, Diana.
So you'll just double check on the June 2nd date if that still works, and then we can go from there.
You want me to let her talk?
Nope, she's got it. Okay. Or yes, you can let her talk.
No, I'm back.
Okay, Jonathan.
I thought we just opened the floor. The only thing that I would say is that I did miss hearing people's voices, and I mean, this was great. I think it worked, but I don't think it's that hard to unmute people, and I think it would be nice to allow for that next time.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said to Gail immediately, I was like, okay, we know this works now, so we can take the next step because we know that if it didn't work and it was too crazy, we could go back to this. But this was a nice baby step, and I think it wouldn't, now that we're a little more familiar with it, I think that would be fine. Maybe not for the town hall, we have to talk about see what their rules are and how they want to do it. But for our June meeting, I agree. I think we can try and do that.
I don't know if the question period was too long because we literally had almost nothing on the agenda, but that still took a long time. If we were to have two or three presentations, that just might be too long a period. You may want to limit it to, I mean, you can't really have everyone propose their questions beforehand, but at least through Dr. Composto's report, maybe 10 minutes after, but like people are asking questions and the questions that are asked, like we could have maybe a little open forum after that for maybe 10, 15 minutes, but to have it open-ended, you know, there was a ton of questions and it just went on and on after a while.
Well, I don't think we're allowed to limit it because it's public comment and people are there, the public is allowed to talk, but
we have time frames though.
I think that a lot of that will be avoided because everyone was typing before they even heard what the question was. I notice at live meetings, if a question has been belabored or a comment has been belabored, some people will just abandon their own question or they'll say, oh, you talked about this already. I just want to say a quick thing. But there was a ton of overlap, which I think is a function of the typing in versus talking. So you bring up a good point. Should we have speakers? Should we have speakers in June or do basically this again with Dr. Composto's report and open forum for questions and comments?
Yeah, I think I heard that there would be some comments, some information on admissions in the next 3 weeks. That might be something that, I don't know if we want to put that on the agenda, but a lot of people, if there's information that's, you know, functional, that might be something people may be curious about.
I was talking to Katie Jelernick. She works in LaShawn Robinson's office. It's the Office of Health and Wellness. And I asked her if they would be willing to come in August for our August meeting to talk about the social emotional work that they're doing with kids and how they're dealing with the trauma and everything. And she said, yes. I don't know if you guys would want them to come maybe in June to see, maybe before that. I thought maybe right before school started, but I could always ask her for June if you thought that would be helpful. I don't know.
I don't think it's ever too early to talk about that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was thinking that it might be a way to ease parents' mind to hear the supports that are in place and the nursing and all of those things that are in place right before they send their kids into the school. So I thought, that's why I thought August. The question, I guess, is do we want it to be just questions and stuff in June or do we want to put a presentation in there? I don't know.
I don't know if it has to be ironclad in June, but definitely not too much later. Like July may not be terrible either. You know, June or July. Depends on what's coming up too. But I know we have to arrange these things in advance, but.
I think they have a presentation pretty well. They were offering some sort of presentation, but I'll talk to her and see if they can
do it for June,
or if they really need to plan it out. But I think you're right, Rob. There's going to be a lot of information coming down the pike in the next 4 weeks.
Probably.
Maybe allowing time for that exchange of information would be good.
So did we have anything on ever planned for that meeting or this meeting that got canceled or other, you know, other presentations that we know happened around this time usually, or
June? We usually do a parent recognition.
Right.
That's sort of hard to do right now.
Right.
That's usually what we do.
Oh my gosh, the student awards. The student awards we can't give out.
But what about speakers about from enrollment or from summer school?
Because that'd be fantastic. And
something, or what can parents do with their kids over the summer other than summer school? Because not everybody is going to be, there's no camp.
So I think we'd have to know that there's guidance to be given out. So I think that's great, but will they have that by June 16th? I hope so.
School only has what, 10 days after that?
Yeah. I mean, so that would be great. What topics would we like to hear about? We'd like to hear certainly about, so maybe from the chief academic officers, from Linda Chen's office, because that would be able to speak to catching kids up and providing academic support for the kids who need it, what summer school looks like.
Yeah. What about Dr. Composto? Could you help with that?
So I can certainly help with that. But listen, they have no answers. Everybody's waiting for these are the answers that they've been asking. So whatever the answer is about summer school, if it's out, we're going to be able to say it. But if it's not out, you can bring the chancellor here, and he's just going to say the same thing, waiting for guidance. I've been with him every week, and when he doesn't have an answer, he says the same thing. So it's a hard piece to say. I don't know. You know, and I'll say that there's so much on their plates right now that they're prioritizing. So I don't know if we're going to have that. We know that they're going to have to definitely tell us by mid to end of June if there's going to be a summer school. But our at the beginning of June, correct?
No, it's June 16th we're talking about.
And we might have a good chance then that we might be able to get some knowledge from them. If they do, I can certainly bring it back to you. I'm not concerned. It's just like, what is the information? Because whether you get the chief academic officer or the chancellor himself, if they don't have the answers, we're waiting for guidance.
So we only need the answer by whenever we have to have the agenda out, right? So, and I never remember. How many days, Gail, do we have to send out the agenda?
72 hours. I like to send it out before that, but yeah. I could do a save the date.
Sure. So by June 13th, we would need to know, and they will either know or they won't know. And then, so we'll talk about what offices we'd like to see, whether it's health and wellness or academic officer, like which deputy's office maybe we'd like to hear from. And then we'll just play it by ear. And if we don't get them, then we'll just do it like this. I mean, I thought this went fine. I agree with Jonathan that it was a little weird not seeing or hearing the people. But I'm glad that we tested it out this way too. But yeah.
I think more people got to ask questions and got answers than they normally would, which was nice. It was it was personal that way. But yeah, I agree. We need to see people and hear them.
Well, and as I've found to be the case at SLT meetings and all kinds of other meetings, there's just more people showing up because they can show up from home. Yeah. So that's something.
Shannon, are you raising your hand? Do you want to talk?
Yeah, I was raising my hand, but that's for a later question. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. There's some Q&A, Deb.
That's Diana, I believe.
That's just Diana. I'm gonna
okay. There. Got it.
Not just Diana. She's, yeah. Thank you, Diana, for being here.
All right.
All right.
That's it. How is everybody doing?
Okay, good. So far. Working from home, but I'm glad. I'm glad from ripping and running every day, but it's okay.
Any recognition for June that we're doing, not doing kids? Nothing. I'm sorry, Shannon, go ahead.
I was saying about like how, because lately I've been like some people, they don't have masks. So I said with a couple of churches, I've been partnering, like on my days off, trying to, get masses, because a lot of people and old people don't have masses in their buildings. Are we able to like donate to, like help give out? Because even if, like some, the senior centers and some, with senior residents, they don't have, they're being left behind. So it's like trying to give, donate food. So if anybody had any, any information or food giveaways, or like, please can we email it out, or Wednesdays and stuff. Or if y'all have people that need stuff, we do have other services where they're trying to reach out to help other people that need kind of help. That's the only thing I was asking. And could we donate any like masses, like to give to like, cause like I have a senior center over where they have like the seniors there, everybody confined into their home. So it's like, they're just left alone, they don't have anything. So they still have to come out to the doctors, but some of them don't have anything that, food, not able to get food, not able to do anything. So we still taking like volunteers where people just shop, like do virtual shopping or get a list just to help old people. Do you have any people like interested in that? Like, do you know anybody that's volunteering for any of the programs?
You were breaking up a little. Are you asking where to donate this stuff, or where to give out the services, or are you looking for more volunteers?
Am I hearing me?
A little bit. You're breaking up a little bit.
You're breaking up, but I'm getting that you have been volunteering.
Yeah, Shannon, we heard that. I think the gist of it is that there's like certain community senior citizens centers that if we had a source for donation. You're back, Shannon?
Bad connection.
No, do they have any other, anybody have any other resources? Resources where they get now stuff, because I know I have a couple of resources where I was just asking for. Yeah, I was just asking for. Mm-hmm. And asking if anybody have any more resources. Huh. Yes, correct. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. The connections. You get me now?
A little bit.
Not so much.
Kind of.
Jen, you want to text the group?
Oh yeah, or chat. Maybe you could chat.
Everybody can hear me now? Yeah, the connection is breaking. No.
Can you chat in the chat box or text us?
Let me just type it.
Or you could try calling from your phone.
Yeah.
The connection is breaking. I had a question. And had an answer. Yeah, back connection. Yeah, the connection is here now.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's still breaking up?
A little better. It's better now.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Randy. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
I think she's on the phone with someone.
I can do that.
I guess in general, I don't know if there's any. I know Van Bramer has been like, you know, getting some resources
Randy.
To certain areas to donate.
Randy.
I'm going to mute her for a little while. Okay, she muted her.
You know, that might be the best bet. I don't know if the school system, the DOE has, you know, these kind of resources to share.
So
although that's a Dr. C.
For donations. So she's looking to give, because I got that she was making masks and doing grocery shopping. So I'm getting, my thought was that she was saying, who needs that I can give to?
I thought he was asking for donations.
If there's a resource for.
Oh, yeah, better now.
You're still chatting.
You hear me now? Randy.
Oh. We're breaking out.
I think what she's looking for is to know whether the CDC can donate to other private entities other than schools.
She's asking if she can get donation for daycare center for adults.
For some reason, it's not trying to go through for me.
I don't know how we're even hearing her. She's on mute. This is crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so sorry. You can hear me now.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I think everybody's cramming up on the systems. Well, everybody wanted to do their homework and get on the Wi-Fi right now. Yeah, yeah. So having bad connection. But yeah, just like other entities, the other donations that are we able to donate to like other, you know, other outlets other than, you know, like education programs?
We being the CEC.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. She just texted. She just asked, are there any other resources for donations?
This is what she meant.
What kind of, I'm confused, what kind of donations?
She said
masks.
Masks.
I believe masks.
I just don't know whether she's get them, to find them, or looking to give them.
Right. So I have tons of masks. If anyone needs masks, I'm the mask queen. I've got a basement full of masks. Masks, dog food, cat food, food.
Any that you can donate, Nuala? Like in, I don't know if she needs it personally. I think she's suggesting for certain community groups that she's volunteering for.
Right. So as you guys all know, I'm running COVID Care Neighbor Network. And so we've raised over $30,000. We've been feeding people in Jackson Heights, East Elmhurst, and Woodside. So I have thousands of masks. So if anyone needs masks, they should just text me and I can deliver them to them.
Excellent, Nuala. Shannon, yes. What do you think?
That's really awesome, Nuala. Thank you.
Yeah, really nice.
I'll be sure to let everybody in my neighborhood know. You'll be driving around Forest Hills in no time whatsoever. I'm joking.
But no, just so you guys know, so we have cases and cases of them.
But seriously, Nuala, if you need help in distributing them, you can always call me. I would be happy to help you. That's so really awesome what you're doing.
If I can give a plug, so we basically, on Mondays, we feed day laborers. On Tuesdays, we serve 80 families every Tuesday. On Fridays, we do another 80 family deliveries of a whole, like a week's worth of groceries. And then we're going to start a feeding site in Corona.
It'll probably be at the Queen's Museum, and we're going to do 1,000 families per week. About 600 of them from the Queen's Museum as a food pantry, and then do another about 200 deliveries, and then have a pop-up site other places in Corona. So it's starting to get organized. But if you know any families that need help in Jackson Heights, East Elmhurst, or Corona, parts of Woodside, we'll service them. And outside of them, those areas, there are equivalent groups, Astoria Mutual Aid, Sunnyside Woodside Mutual Aid, Long Island City Mutual Aid, serving to help families.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Nirmala.
Yeah, because we're running out. Yeah, we're running out. It's three churches. Well, it's about four. The main ones that we try to get services to is just, you know, with that day. We feed about 200 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Saturday. So we service about 200 a day, 200 up to 80. But yeah, some people turned away, and that's hurtful.
No, the food insecurity is really, it's just shocking how desperate people can get so quickly. But the good news is I think we're starting to get to the point that we're servicing the need. If I can give my last little plug, it's that we really shouldn't be servicing the need. We should be giving families direct aid, food stamps, or EBT cards, because we can feed them more efficiently, we can feed them more culturally appropriately, and we can feed them safer so they're not exposed to virus. We just actually gave them food stamps and they can go to the store rather than lining up or taking deliveries of food they may or may not.
Lula, what's the name of the group again?
It's called COVID Care Neighbor Network. Jackson Heights. Then we have Together We Can that does all of Corona. So I do both of those. But then there's an equivalent group in Astoria. There's one in Sunnyside, Woodside, and one in Long Island City.
Okay. Thank you.
And it's pretty full service. People call in. Usually the first call comes asking for food, but then every person calls. We do a follow-up call with the social worker, kind of going through with the family what other needs they have. Can they apply for food stamps? You know, are their basic needs being met? And we do it in English, Spanish, Bengali, and Nepalese.
Nice.
Very good.
Can you please, Nola, send me the group that's in Astoria, because we do also have some like food as snacks, and like sometimes we do also get masks. So if there is a group that they need those things, I'm happy like to also help with this donation. I do have some stuff here that I would like also to donate.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat now.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Dr. Composto, is there anything you need from us? I don't know.
No, actually, we're doing fine. You know, it's sort of interesting. They gave you your money back. They've taken the money like away from the schools other than COVID-19 and now with the graduation piece. But we're okay. You know, like you said before, they're using their resources within, so we're fine. The concerning part is when we open up, you know what I mean, that we're going to need all our supplies and books and all that. So we'll see how that goes with the budget.
Yeah, I'm a press conference junkie. It's the way I deal with this. Is the only control I have is watching these press conferences, so I watch them all. And in the past 2 days, the mayor has commented both 2 days that he is really kind of expecting to open in one form or another in September. That's barring any changes, of course, that he sees us opening. So, like you say, you know, business as usual until we're told not, but that's, right. I think, what his optimistic look view of this is, that we're opening in some form or another in September.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. We'll make it work.
Okay, everyone, I put the links in the chat.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, unless anybody has anything else to chat about, wait, Diana, did we talk to you yesterday? Was that yesterday?
Yes, it was yesterday.
Okay, so we'll talk to you again next week. And then so I'll see everybody then next week when we talk with Diana. So everyone should have gotten an invitation to the ECC meeting this Saturday to talk about the admissions policy. Not everybody will have a chance to speak, but they're going to do it randomly. But if you have something to say about admissions, you have to register first. And you are welcome to come and engage with them on Saturday morning.
The meeting going to be 10 to 12?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just to add, there's actually two topics on the agenda on Saturday. The first one is to talk about admissions and enrollment. And the second one is about CEC elections.
Yes.
And that is with Adrienne
Austin.
Austin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so Deb.
Yeah.
Hi, it's me. I don't think I'm going to be joining that meeting on Saturday. I just got another phone call and I lost another family member. So I'm getting ready to leave the meeting. I can't do this no more right now. So y'all will take care.
Go ahead.
Katrina. Oh, sorry. God bless you.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, Katrina.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sending you hugs, Katrina.
Oh, good thing. With that, everybody.
Okay, thank you all. Bye.
Thank you, Katrina.
Take care. We love you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank
you. With that, we'll say goodnight, and please stay safe.
Debbie making a motion to adjourn. Bye.
One quick question for Gail. So how is this, like normally we have minutes and stuff, but is this going to be available to people or how are we going to do this? Is it?
Oh, I know you have Diana here. So yeah, someone asked earlier if we are posting the
video.
A, are we obligated to? B, are we allowed to? What are the rules on that?
I think Diana is gone.
Left. Okay.
So we have to... We are required to do minutes like we always are, which in fact I have to do them quickly because we have to get the budget mod in. Eventually the meeting has to be transcribed. That's what has to be available, but they haven't given us a timeline on that because that's good because I can't transcribe myself. And if I do, it's going to take me forever.
Yeah.
No, Gail, there's an automatic way to do it. My kid found it. You can do it the way that Google will do it for you. It's not.
Yeah, I was sharing with Gail. I just discovered Otter, which will do it for free.
Well,
sometimes it has mistakes. I mean, you need to
still have to guess.
Go word by word.
A lot of mistakes. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So depending on is this Zoom account the DOE's Zoom account? No. Okay. Because depending on the Zoom account, Zoom also does have auto transcription, but it usually have to pay. You know, that's part of some kind of package. So, and it's pretty good.
That's the Zoom. You have to pay for Zoom. I think it's 30 days free or something.
We have a good package though.
We have a very good package.
Yeah.
So it might be included.
So look at that and see if it does it for you. It would probably need to be corrected, but at NYU, we use it and it's pretty good.
So
my question is, does a recording count as a transcription? If we have that, if we have, I don't know what we're actually required to do. Open meetings law, it says we just have to have minutes. So I don't know
by what. The waiver, the waiver requires it to be transcribed. And what Paola and Diana were telling us at the last space meeting with the AAs is that we're not paid to transcribe. Court reporters earn a fortune, and we certainly don't. But I'll look into the Zoom account and see if we could get it. Otherwise, we'll do it. And I'll go over it. You know, it'll just take me time. That doesn't have to be
within 2 weeks. The waiver doesn't say at what point it has to be transcribed. Yes. Right.
The minutes have to be out, yes, but the transcription, not right away.
So, but that still begs the question, we have a recording, should we put it on the website? Because we have a recording.
Let's look at the recording first and see what it's like, because I don't know. Let's see.
If it's not terrible, I mean, I would say, why not?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we could put it on our website, right? Because to email it out to people, it's going to be too large of a file, and I can't do that.
Yeah. No, it would just be available for some person who wants to watch these.
Right. Questions. So, and there is actually a question for Bill on the website that it's going to be a huge file, the recording. Right. And so whether we can actually do that, whether our hosting allows for that is a question.
Yeah.
And if somebody really wants it, I can put it on a USB and mail it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody really, really wants it, we certainly can do that.
Yep.
When I go back to the office, because that's where the USBs are.
Careful.
Are we allowed to hire a transcribing service, though? If we had to transcribe it?
I don't know. I don't know how much that would even be.
Not that much.
I think they would have to allow it if the waiver says that we're required to, then it certainly is pertinent to the job description, you know?
I don't know. I have much bigger transcriptions from court recordings and interrogatories and depositions than what we did here. And it's not more than a couple hundred hours.
Okay.
Usually.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Again, our Zoom package is very fancy for the next couple of months. So it might be included. I don't know what else we the only package up was the supreme ultimate package. So I don't know.
Well, while we're here, then let me ask about we're talking about Zoom, the webinar feature for right now. We only have the webinar feature for this month and for June because the P card disappears at June 30th, but I could pay for it annually.
So if we are not doing this format again, I only wanted the webinar for the Q&A feature because that's
okay.
The PEP did it. And if we don't need the Q&A feature and people can use the chat if they want to talk and raise their hands and get called on and however we do it, then I don't think we need the webinar
feature. And we won't.
I don't think this is because we'll still get the number of people allowed, right? In the lower package.
Right. I paid for the pro and large meetings for the year.
Yeah. So I think webinar was the only add-on, and I think the feature that we're using on the webinar is the Q&A. I think. But let's look and make sure we don't lose any other features.
Sure.
But I don't think so. So then we don't have to buy that again.
Does the other package allow us to control whose pictures are shown and whose aren't? Because this was kind of nice to be able to,
That's why. I don't think so, Deb. When we go to the Zoom meetings, the screen is constantly changing who's pictured and who's not.
Host, I believe the host can change that and you can spotlight who's speaking. And I think you can set let's double check, but I'm pretty sure you can spotlight who's on in the same way that you can share your screen and that's what you see.
So I can spotlight everybody. Though, because that's why I wanted the webinar too, because I wanted everyone to see the council members. I go to other Zoom meetings and I have no idea who's a member and who's not. Even when I go to watching the PEP sometimes, I don't always know.
Got it. Well, you're right. That's an important thing. So, but it's we're talking $40 a month, right?
Well, that's only for up to 100 people. It's $149 a month if we have the 500.
Hmm. Not all this money left over.
Interesting.
Well, we can think about it because we'll pay for it through June, and then gives us enough time to research.
Okay.
We'll find out. Okay.
I thought they were relaxing some of their requirements during this time.
Zoom. Zoom. I don't know. Maybe. Don't know. Now that they're like the main game in town, they're like, whoa, we don't have to do anything.
We're only allowed like 50 and we had like 100 for Ashton's birthday. So
interesting.
Nobody said anything to us.
Well, the basic plan gives you 100.
Maybe I misread.
Right. Yeah.
I never paid for it.
How many did we have tonight?
About 100, yeah. 90 something.
Yeah. Wasn't bad.
I thought it went really well.
Then it went really well. And John Liu was having an education town hall at the exact same time, so I think we would have had more if not for that.
No, you guys did an outstanding job. You really did. Did good.
Dr. Composto, man. He shouldered.
You guys are rock stars. But I agree with Jonathan. Next time we should let the people ask their own questions. Let the
people speak. Yes. The PEP, we were marveling over Rebecca Israel's command of the Zoom. But she did a great. It worked very well that way. I was just nervous for our very first time of dealing with all of it. But I
think for the first time it was perfect.
She was a producer. Like, we don't have a producer. Like, that was...
Yeah, like, I think for everything all and said, I think you guys did amazing.
I thought Gail was our producer.
Gail has been learning and learning and studying and practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
Gail. Well, it showed tonight. And Jonathan, that website looks amazing. Really great job. Thank you.
Hey, Jonathan worked very hard on that in the wee hours of the morning.
Gail, you too. I mean, I know you did, but thank you.
I just fed him information. Jonathan did the design, so.
Well, I tooled around it this afternoon. It was really quite cool.
It's good, right? It's nice. Yeah, it's amazing. It's easy to navigate.
It's amazing, yeah.
So I should say Bill really did the design, but I gave lots and lots of comments and corrections.
Jonathan, I have this feeling that you drove the bus and you got it where you wanted it.
Yeah, that's about right.
And not in any bad way am I saying that, but
good.
It was a great job. Kudos to you guys.
Yeah, Bill earned his money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He hasn't gotten paid yet either, by the way.
All right.
Since Katrina's no longer on the call, Gail, can we send some kind of condolence card for her?
Sure.
That would be nice.
It seems like there's multiple passings, though. We don't know how many, who, and how many.
I think just the thought alone and some flowers or some edibles for her and her family to eat or something.
Yep.
A real nice gesture from her.
You can't send her flowers or edibles.
Okay, then don't. Send her a card.
I'll send her the card.
There you go. Sorry.
And I mean, if somebody personally wants to do that, that's fine. But we
we send food to everybody. That's what us Jews do. I think everybody, you know, you ease their pain through their stomach. I'm teased.
I cannot believe we managed to still go till 10 o'clock, but I was like, we're going to be out of here. It's all going to happen.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's 10 o'clock always.
At least we're all close to our beds now at 10.
Right.
That's the truth. At least we don't have to drive home.
It's true.
Although, speaking of next year in Jerusalem, you know, next year in a school would be good too.
Oh God,
that's true too.
I can't wait to get out of my apartment.
Yeah. Okay.
Did we already adjourn?
I think we adjourned, but we're like that high school girlfriend and boyfriend. You hang up. we're just going to hang up.
I think we're all just so happy to see and hear voices other than our own family members.
Who is seconding adjourning? Because nobody seconded. Scott,
seconded.
Thank you.
Yes.
In my phone. So Dr. Composto, I wanted to give a special shout out to the custodians of PS69 and Well, I guess there are multiples now, but mainly 69 and 138. Who both reached out to me and said, I know there's a pandemic, but can you still take care of the garden?
Nice.
Nice, good.
That's great. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
see
take you care.
Soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay.